You're listening to the Rick and Rollo Show, where two guys from Australia talk about pop culture and media fakery, with esoterica and comedy mixed in. They do the show every Saturday night, 7 p.m. Sydney time, Saturday morning, 5 a.m. Toronto time. You'll hear different guests every week, all of them speaking with a fakeologist mindset. Now, enjoy the show.
The wrong version, Rollo, but never mind. That was the censored version.
I'm so sorry, Rick. Niggas with attitude. 100 miles and running. I played the wrong version, did I?
No, that's all right. Well, at least they won't
get sent. How you doing? How you doing, mate?
Fantastic, man. Fantastic.
Yeah. You had a good week? Yeah, okay. Let me do the start. Saturday, the 25th of September, 2021, Rick and Rollo. And Rick, are you there?
I most certainly am. I most certainly am. Yeah, and man, well, construction workers with attitude. It should be called construction workers with attitude.
Oh my goodness! What a shit show!
What else can you say? But don't fuck with the construction workers to the cops, because you're gonna get blowback. And they got it.
Okay, let's start with our weeks. How is your week personally? Before we get into the politics and the minutia.
Yeah, well, not minutia, but yeah, it's the maxima, I would say. But my birthday Sunday, beautiful birthday on my son's
happy birthday.
It was last week, 57, yeah. Who would know that? People still do not believe that number. Although, let me tell you, I feel it every day. I didn't work. I had my school holidays here. And, listen, man, it's completely fucking open here. The pubs are going, the parties. I went to a cafe the other day, which I do pretty much every day. And there were 45, at least, 45, 9, I just had to say that.
Yeah.
Old people without masks doing Tai Chi in the park right next to the cafe. And I thought, that is the best thing I've seen. Old people, I actually could see their faces, and they all had their Tai Chi outfits on, and they were doing their slow down martial arts, because that's what Tai Chi is, be told.
Yeah, I know Tai Chi very well, keep going.
Anyway, so, listen, it's beach weather, it was cold for a few days, now it's back again, like, it's stunning weather, mm-hmm. apart from, just, I'll bring this before Dad turns up, when I say Dad, I mean Ab, the sprays, we had a fucking spray this morning, like, I have not seen for a long time, and the sky went white.
A pepper spray? A capsicum spray?
No, I don't know what it is, but let me tell you, it was line after line after line going completely the wrong direction of the normal air traffic, and then the sky turned white. So I reckon they're getting ready to set fire to the bush in the next 2 months. Right. That's my theory. Conspiracy theorist that I am. Anyway, Rollo, how was your week?
Rick, I'm glad you made it to 57.
I did work today. I'll just mention this. I did work today, though. I painted.
Oh, today, so. What did you do? Yeah. You were painting again? Or?
Yes, yeah, I've got a whole lot more paintings to do. You're listening to Rick and Rollo.
Hi, this is John Friend.
This is Mizum.
Joe from Atlanta.
Joe Mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck Cherry.
It's me.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Indeed you are. Saturday, the 25th of September, 2021, Rick and Rollo. So
how was your week? How was your week? Yeah, it was painting, but anyway, now, how was your week, Rollo?
Not too bad. I mean, we're going to get into the politics and police bashing cunts, but, when I went down, I'll start off with the good stuff, right? I went down to the beach today with my ex-wife. We're still working on our marriage, the dog to the beach, Indiana Bones. I sent you a picture and I posted it. It was pretty good again. There are a few masked retards, idiots, whatever you want to call them.
Imbeciles, Rollo.
Thank you, Ray Hadley. Yeah. I actually rang Lawsy during the week. I'll tell you about that. It was an excellent day. I must admit, it was an excellent day.
During the week, people around the world must be looking at Australia and going, These guys are just
they
going through hell, you know. And
apart
from Rick and Lola.
Rick. Just when I was getting my vodka and Red Bull, so I was at the IGA, my local IGA, and the guy behind the bar behind the counter goes, "Did you QR code to get in?" I go, "Well, you just served the woman in front of me, and you didn't ask her. Why did you pick me?
Good man."
And
good
he
man,
goes, and I go, "Is it a consistent thing you do? I mean, do you ask everyone, or do you just ask someone that doesn't have a face mask on, or what's going on? Because you know, you've got to be at least consistent about this. If you're going to ask me, why didn't you ask her?" And he went, and he couldn't give me my, my.
He couldn't give you.
Go away.
Good on you.
I said, "Look, I felt like saying, if you want to start something, I'll finish it, cunt." I know there's lots of troubles in Australia at the moment, and look, we're going to end up. Dan Andrews, Gladys, and Anastasia Palaszczuk. When it comes to Nuremberg Part 2, those guys, I don't want them dangling at the end of the rope, but I want them in jail for the rest of their lives. I really do. What they've done,
Let's put it this way: if just like they do the Nuremberg, they do a mock trial, just like they did in the French Revolution. They lined up all the supposed heads of the baddies, and then Madame Tussauds provided fake heads, and they did a switcheroo magician's act. So everyone went, "Oh, good, we've got rid of them all." And they just all probably went to Germany or England or wherever they went and kept living the life. Probably went to Switzerland. Marie Antoinette and her gang of coke-eating
agents. And
remember the Nazis? That was all stage managed by C.D. Jackson. As a name, if anyone's listening to this and they don't know who C.D. Jackson is, he's a player.
Tell us about C.D. Jackson.
It wouldn't be CIA, it'd be OSS, I guess, or high level. He was a PR man, probably the psychological warfare director back in the day, and he was behind Nuremberg trials. You know, so we had not only him, but you had him bringing in Rick,
what does OSS mean? OSS?
Office of Strategic Services that became the CIA.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was founded by the English that helped set it up. Yeah, so yeah. And that, so those guys.
During the week, Frank, our ounce of salt, has accused me of being ASIO, Australian intelligence. like seriously, no, Frank, I'm not ASIO.
If there was ever a bloke that
very
couldn't
funny
hold,
that he...
there is, I'll say this, I know you well. If there was ever a bloke that I wouldn't, you know, when they say you wouldn't do a bank robbery or do a murder with this bloke because he'll tell everyone.
I couldn't keep a secret to save my life.
Not at all. And so Frank, I think I actually mentioned it to him the other day. I had a bit of a chat off air with him and the wonderful critical thinker, Sean. I didn't know his name is Sean.
Yes,
so critical thinker.
That
Sean.
Conversation was wonderful. Yeah, the one that they recorded. You were on it.
I talk too much as it is, but I was talking to them off air. There was Johnny's List, Frank, and Critical Singer, and we had a great conversation. Should have recorded it, let me tell you, but we didn't. And anyway, Sean, who's living in London, he's in Brighton, I think, he's married to the Italian. Yeah, he's fantastic, and it was a good show.
He is fantastic. He's fantastic with, he is on our, we're like-minded. That's why.
Why are there so many Australians? And even though I'm not technically Australian, but I may as well be. We dominate the fakeologist.com, let me tell you.
We have other lovely Australians that I'm like, even though RV Yemeni is Israeli, at least he's up on the front line and
RV's an agitator for sure, but he does some great stuff. I enjoy his reporting. You know, we've got to understand though, we'll go back onto this, we'll start talking about the construction. So what's happened, right, in Australia, Melbourne, after the big protests, that happened a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago, Dan Andrews, or the Dan Andrews fault, the Dan Andrews fault line, as we can also call he decided to punish the construction workers, because what's happening on building sites are the new pubs. Sorry, not the new pubs. You know, what we had in the old days, we go to the pub and you talk to your friends and discuss stuff. That's gone. That's finished. But building smoko sheds, let me tell you, having spent many years on building sites and in the smoko sheds, that's where you have your conversations and you get to talk to people. And Dan Andreas has decided no, they're shut down for 2 weeks. So all of a sudden, what's happened?
How is that? He's got no clue. Oh, okay. The guys are going against the CFMEU and they're spraying capsicum and hitting them with rubber bullets and whatnot. His first thing to do is say, all right, okay,
we're going to stop all
construction work for 2 weeks. That is just someone who has no clue.
I'll bring this up. I'll keep saying this. The guy is a fucking, he's not a retard. He's a creepy. No, apparently put his arm around, he put it on a 14-year-old daughter of a very well-known, transport magnate. At a party during lockdown.
And he pushed him down the stairs. The
father of the girl, apparently, I never brought it up till I heard it verified by a lot of different people. And Frank heard the same story. The father came around and didn't just give it to him. He gave it to him, and threw him down some stairs. Did a Molly Meldrum on him, when Molly fell off doing his Christmas decorations. And he was in traction for 5 months or 4 months or whatever. But he's back out again being this, body language, fail. Voice, credibility, fail. He is just a fuckwit. And I can't, I don't think there's a word in the English language. There's probably one in German or Russian. Joppa is one that I'd use for the Russian. He's just a fucking piece of shit,
I've always heard state government. Now state governments have closed down schools. Give policing and schooling, if you're going to do federal, if you have to, get rid of state governments altogether.
Three tiers and T. Yeah. It should be. It's a lot of tiers that come out of T-E-A-R-S, but 3-T-I-E-R-S of government. So you got local, state, and federal, and it's just an absolute fucking schmozzle. Was it 25 million people here, and more of them would be, bureaucrats and, what do you call those people that work in Canberra that wear wayfarers? They're public servants, and they went to work for us. So anyway, what happened in Victoria when they said all of a sudden, well, you building workers we're not even going to let you even go to work without a vaccine, and you're not even sitting in your smoko sheds. And they suddenly, these guys arced up and stood up and fought back. And that's when, we've had 4 days, I think, so far of protests. The media fight back, the media betrayal of those guys, they've been desperately trying to say, oh, they're not construction workers, they're anti-vaxxers and right-wing fanatics, and
the media are wondering why. Like, did you see that Channel 7 guy clocked in the head with that
can of beer?
Okay, so apparently what happened. Not the guy that threw the can and hit him, and it didn't hit him that hard. All right, but one of the protesters came over and helped him, and but they wonder why they're targeted when Channel 7, 9 and 10 and the ABC and SBS
are
tagging them as right-wing extremists when they're guys out of work. I really do respect the guy that I think Avi Yemeni played it, where
Aussie Cossack. Someone shared it to him. A guy walks up and says, "What are you doing here?" And the guy goes, "Just go home. Just go home. You know, like we don't want to be here. You don't, you know, just, and he was just a normal guy dressed in black as a nut, looking like a stormtrooper in, from Star Wars, except he's dressed in black.
They look like Darth Vader.
And the kid
that went up to him and filmed him, and he said, my wife's been out of work for like 2 months or something.
Yeah, cause these guys, the police are just council workers with rubber bullet guns and a bit more training. They are all public servants. And you know, but they've been trained to a level by special forces. So you've got your special operations group and riot squad and public order squads. Mm. These guys are like a military, a paramilitary, right? And my only experience with this, right, and I can understand that mentality, is having spent 8 years back in the day on doing security with a company that, let me tell you, it was paramilitary. I was one of the few guys that was not in the military or ex-police or whatever. And I understood how, because we were dressed in black, we had lightning bolt epaulettes on our, and the boss was a highly decorated special forces, air service, rider. So he'd handpicked everyone. I looked the part. I wasn't highly trained, you know. I'd certainly been doing martial arts and things like that, but I was just I looked the part. So they used to put me on high profile jobs. The other guys, though, let me tell you, these guys were from all around the world, and these guys are highly trained. And we all got sent on one particular job, was Baywatch, you know, the movie, TV show Baywatch, right?
Yeah, with David Hasselhoff, and Pamela Anderson.
Without Pamela Anderson, but anyway, they came over and they were wanting to do a 2 year stint in Australia, and they decided they wanted to film at Avalon Surf Life Saving Club in the Northern Beaches. Now, that's an area where you've got fourth, fifth generation surfer feral kids. There's a lot of trouble in that area. And we all turned up there to, you know, keep the place locked down, stop people walking on the beach when they wanted to film. And I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I'll bring it up again because it's relevant.
Okay.
When you are part of a group and you're in the same uniform and you're all, you know, trained up and you're all kind of gung-ho and stuff like that, it's an us against them situation where you've got these surfer kids and skater kids and, you know, that were giving us a hard time or trying to, but didn't work.
Mm.
And, I can understand this us again, you know, because you become part of a brotherhood when you're in any different thing. Even Boy Scouts are a brotherhood. But if you're dressed in black, like these guys are, they form a brotherhood, and it is an us against them mentality that they've already, you know, it's been trialed many years ago in that university. Is it the Milgram experiment?
Didn't you knock about with Russell Crowe? He did a documentary on the Bra Boys down in Cronulla, didn't he?
There's another brotherhood of these guys are just street thugs or whatever. Anyway, I can identify, I understand where the cops versus the public are, and that's what that guy was saying. Look, I'm just going to work, man. All I'm doing is the pay my thing. But guess what? That is not an excuse. You are breaking. These guys wanted to go to, they don't want to stay home and be bludgers. These guys wanted to go to work, and these fucking pigs, and that's what they are, have turned up. There's no excuse. This is straight out like of the Nuremberg, you know, I was following orders. I'm sorry, you're following orders. You know you're doing wrong. You need to stand up now and back out and just say, look, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to shoot rubber bullets at these people. I'm not firing it. You know, these guys want to go to work. They want to pay their bills, whatever. And sadly, what the difference is, though, the construction workers...
My wife said, when like I said before, Channel 7, 9, 10, ABC and SBS reporters are going to be targeted because the people back in the studios are lying so badly about what they're saying about these people that have lost their cushy jobs.
I'm in the same position. A 20-year successful business out the window if I'm made to do but luckily at the difference is with this, what's happened here, right? These aren't just your anti-vaxxers, because back at the protest last year, there was no cohesion, there was no fight back, because everyone's getting paid lots of money to, like, shut up, go away, take the money, you know. All of a sudden, these construction guys have been threatened with, no, you're not going to be, if you're not vaccinated, you're not even going to sit in the same smoko shed as the vaccinated. We're not even going to let you on the site. So that caused straight out the... That's the word for it. It was like, and they were apologizing. So did you see the guy apologize? He goes, I'm so sorry we didn't stick up for the anti-vaccine and the freedom.
I saw that. That was heartbreaking. It was truly heartbreaking.
Why didn't they do that last year? That pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because, he's now. Oh, he is now. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But I was just, when I was watching that footage, obviously I'm very pro the writers, and I hate the CFEMU and was a part of them. So, I understand that they betrayed their workers and I love seeing them around that building.
Do you know how much it costs? Do you know how much it costs each member? Like $1,000 a year to be a member of the CFMEU. You can wonder why a lot of them don't have the money to pay $1,000 a year.
It was $350 when I was a member, and that was back in the early, the last time I would have been a member been 97. Technically, I'm still a member because you can never resign unless you go in there and fill out a thing. So, hopefully, I'll just have to try and take them to court if they try and get their fees back. But that's what they did. You signed up. But let me tell you, I've got to say this also in defense of unions. I got helped by them massively when I was ripped off several times over the last, back in that, from 87 to 90 something or other. They came in, they shut pipes down, they got you, your wages and everything, all your entitlements, and they sent the builders.
Back in the day when you were running security.
Rollo, not running. I never ran any security. I'm telling you about when I was in the building industry. I just worked for security. I didn't run anything. I was just the worker. Just a nobody. Yeah. But yeah, so unions were
fantastic. All right, well,
I betrayed them.
Honestly. Rick and Rollo.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Thank you, Ab. Yeah, Saturday the 25th of September, 2021, Rick and Rollo. Hey, Rick, can you indulge me? I just want to read a response to Rick and Rollo last week from a listener.
Yes.
Can I read it for you?
You can. Go for it.
Yeah, okay. So here, it's from Dirty Benny. It's quite long, but let me read it in full to give him. He's taken the time to write this. Another wonderful Rick and Rollo audio chat. Thanks to all the participants. I will chime in opposition to the common law rabbit hole. My model is that we are in a spiritual war. I agree with Rick that it is based on our consenting to doom ourselves, be that physical or spiritual via deception. We are rapidly approaching the crossroads. I've had a few drinks. Give me a break. Everything in this infected realm is based in consent, usually via deception or coercion. Cookies, terms, conditions of applicants and software, citizenship, social security, driver's license, taxation, passport, medical and surgical interventions, in quotes, vaccines, etc. As previously voiced, I do not believe that the injections are meant to kill the herd. If that were the goal, there would be much easier ways to do that directly via food, air or water. I know that all of those avenues are already tainted, but are not meant to directly kill. I will never, in quotes, conditionally accept to their injections, so you, in quotes, conditionally consent to harm your body and spiritual connection in return for the blatantly corrupt system, conditionally agreeing to pay you damages in their money, not me. Does that make sense to you, Rick? What are you saying there? Should I read that again?
Please do not read that again. No, yeah, well, he's right. He's just giving his, that he believes it's spiritual, which I do totally, and I think Frank, I think Frank, and a lot of other people do now. It's like this, this is about.
Let me finish before. Okay. Let me just finish what he's written here, and because Dirty Benny, he's taken the time to write this. So you are attempting to act in honor in your bargaining with a demonic, deceptive system that is actively covertly constructing putting a panopticon around you, not me. The system is corrupt, and attempting to petition it for my personal natural freedom is not the direction I pursue. Whether they call it directives, orders, laws, what does it matter? The system itself is corrupt. Will hundreds of NOLs, what are NOLs? I don't know whether they change the system.
Notice of liability.
Thank you. I don't think so. Clinging to some hope that there's a vestige of legitimacy will not change the nature of the beast. I do not consent ever. No conditions, no discussion. I do not consent. And a big thank you to, Dirty Benny for that. Okay.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely. Nice letter. Thank you, Daddy Benny, for agreeing with me, because I do believe this is spiritual war. There's no doubt about it in my mind. And I think after 40 years thereabouts of
I've got to read Napoleon Wilson's one for you. Rick, I love listening to you, but you just scared the shit out of me with the demon being called Manchester. I missed the beginning and just heard you say, ooh, all the listeners, real life testing is David needing adjust. Yeah.
That's the trick. Hello. Someone else ringing me at the same time, but, different phone. That's a true story. I'm not joking about that. This book I've got is like a real heavyweight book on regional possession of the planet.
Yeah.
And as I said, Manchester is actually a really heavyweight. Oh, far out. Mum's looking up. There's a massive black cloud flying over. It's going to be a massive storm. Denny, you need to get a halo and put it on, and keep onions around your neck. That's my only advice. Put lots of onions around your neck.
That's all right. Onions around your neck. Let me read the rest of what Denny said. He said, I missed the beginning and just heard you say it. Oh, for any of the listeners, just as the real death figures from COVID need adjusting with the false positive equation, COVID's is bollocks. So yeah, he agrees with us. Usually -97.3%. When Rick says 10 years ago, he means 20 years ago. He's old like us. Stop counting in 2012 after the barrage of the hard parts. time flies when you're distracted. So Denny really does like you. So big shout out to you.
Oh, look, I'm a fan. I've just discovered. See, I'm not on Telegram, but apparently, according to Critical Thinker, Sean, in brackets.
Yep.
Apparently, Mr. Napoleon's on there, like typing away like a secretary on ice and doing lots of stuff. So I need to go on there and check it out.
Yeah. I haven't checked out Telegram at all.
Discord's either fantastic or fucked. There's only two words. You know, it's neither. There's no in between. Sometimes you see some amazing stuff, and let me tell you, last night I put some fucking hard, heavyweight, Tyson-like links to about Armenia, the foundation of Israel, and Jesuits that are fucking no one else on the planet has ever fucking put up. And then you go on there and there's some, you know, idiot wants to start arguing about what a certain word might mean to them. It's like, you know, you've got to find a platform where you've got consistency, and there is no consistency.
Rick. The perfect world you're looking for doesn't exist, but Fakeologists, Discord is the best you're going to find. You'll be
I think the blog's probably better than Discord. I think Discord can be, it's too up and down. It's either good or it's shit. There's no in between.
I'm at the blog now, but I'll wait till Ab gets here because I expect Ab will be here before you know it. You know his favorite song? I need to go
no,
and.
No, it's not. Don't put it on.
Don't play it.
No, Rollo, don't, because I'm like, no, please don't.
No, it's Ab's favorite song.
Rollo, don't play it. Just keep talking. Let's talk about, I've got a heap of things to talk about. What else have you got to talk about?
Oh, I'm just going to say, I'm going into the bathroom to take a shit. Do you want to hear the plops?
Please.
You know what I mean?
Ignore it. Anyway.
I was just going to play Hurts because Ab said it's his favorite song. I'll be back in 2 minutes,
right? No, did he really say that?
Yes! Ab said, this is my favorite song and I want to play it for Ab, all right?
Okay. For Dad. This is for Dad.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Hey, Rick. Thank you, mate. You're a legend.
I am.
I know you are.
Here we go. See you, mate. All right, go on, you mate.
Oh, come on, play. Where is it? I'm just trying to find it now. I'm no Velocet, I swear to God.
Napoleon will be rolling in his joints at the moment, listening to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not huge into, here we go, I found it. It only goes for 2 minutes, so I'll be right back. Okay, Rick?
Make sure you wipe properly, please. Thank you.
I will. I'll think of you while I'm wiping. Rick and Rollo, fakeologist.com. Amel and the Sniffers, Hurts, going out for you, Ab.
Wearing a bikini, then she looks good.
Sniffers.
Are you being honest that Ab thought that's a good song?
That is an awesome song. It's so Australian and it's so quintessentially.
Did Dad say it was okay to play? Because that's what
he said. It was fine. He said okay. It's his new favorite song. I swear to God.
Okay, fantastic.
Why would I lie about this? Now, is it too early for me to take a biggie?
Take it. Did you see?
All right. Take it. Here we go.
Anyway, take your pill.
I'm going to do it right now. Right. All right.
Is it a cap? Is it a cap? Take a cap.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There you go. He's taking it.
There you go.
20 seconds later, he'll turn into...
Well, no, it won't kick in. No, 20 minutes. It won't kick into 20 minutes. All right. So what else? What else have you been thinking about during the week?
I'll tell you. I'll add on to the Baywatch story, right? This is a truth.
Can I ask you what you did on Baywatch? Were you running security?
Not running security. I was just one of the guys. I didn't want to be a boss, but they did want me to become part of their, management thing. But I just didn't feel like getting into it. But anyway,
so the same deal when you worked on the Matrix.
I was just a man in the shadows, basically. But anyway. What I did on Baywatch, I stood there and watched women and guys, sadly, but mainly women, get changed into bikinis and run around on the beach. And it was a really cold few days that they were shooting the particular scenes. I was mm-hmm. on But I was watching girls getting changed to bikinis. You know, there's nothing better than a girl in a bikini in a really cold day. Let me assure you of that one. Anyway, I talked to so many people there. Like, I met heavyweight paparazzi because on that, the paparazzi were there because, what's his name? Rene Rivkin. There's a whole fucking episode I could do just on him. He was the Jewish financial guy. He was a very colourful character in the 80s and 90s who committed suicide by putting a plastic bag over his head. Very unusual for a multi-billionaire to do something, but he did. Anyway,
throw yourself off that cliff there, you know,
he was tied into that death. Anyway, as I said, Anyway, I talked to his driver. I used to sit there and talk to people because, honestly, doing security on the film, you're standing there and you need to talk. You just want to talk to people, and as you would widely know, I'm a good talker and conversationist. Mm-hmm. And I met his driver. I talked to this guy who was a heavyweight international. He turned up with this like fucking zoom lenses I've never seen before, and he said, "Can you keep an eye on them? Because I'm going over to he's trying to take shots illegally." And I was all cool with him. Anyway, on one of the days I was there, these skaters and surfers there were absolute cunts. Little feral, you know. Anyway, one day there was this old guy, and I was walking down the side of the Avalon Surf Club, and there was an old guy in front of me with a walking stick, and all of a sudden the skateboarder coming was heading towards, so I moved him out of the way and pushed the skateboarder into the garden with one move, and the old guy said, "Son, I've always wanted to do that." And get this, 2 days later, the production team were kicked out of the area because black-clad thugs were throwing kids off skateboards. That was on the news, and I'd rung my mother to say, "Look, guess who I'm with?" Because she was obsessed with, what's his name, the star of Baywatch was Hasselhoff was on The Young and the Restless, which is one of the biggest soap operas of the 70s and 80s, maybe, and maybe 90s. And yeah, he played Snapper. And I said to my mother, I rang her up from my phone on the set, and I said, "Guess who I'm standing next to?" And she goes, "Who?" And I said, "Snapper." And she's like, "Oh," and she goes, I've just heard on the radio that there's black clad people throwing people off skateboards in the area. And I said, "Mum, that was me." And she's gone, because this is, follows another, there's been a number of stories with my mother. I'll tell you the funniest one. When I was 14, I got onto talkback radio and pretended to be the principal of my high school. And I interviewed for half an hour. And the radio host thought he believed
not with
I
John
was.
Laws. Not with
no,
John
it
Laws.
Was like, well, it was like the Taronga John Laws, like no one you've ever heard about. Anyway, I did this interview and I said, because it was an interview about school uniforms, and I was there pretending to be the principal going, "Yes, I think that I've been totally old-fashioned, and I decided that next year there'll be no school uniforms in Taronga Boys College," which is where I went. And anyway, I ran out, I walked over. My mate was there recording it, like you would do if you were, you know, we were laughing our heads off because, anyway, I walked home. My mother goes, "Oh my God, you've got to listen to the radio because Mr. Morris has said that there's no more school uniforms," because my mother hated having to buy school uniforms. And I said, "Mum, that was me." And she goes, "No." She looked at me and she suddenly realized, because she's created this mimicking monster that can pretend to be people that no one else can. I think I've got a skill there, let me tell you. And
I think you do. Look, when it comes to just to what you said there with school uniforms, I think school uniforms evens everyone out.
That's true, and I agree because I've got. But let me tell you, as a parent, let me tell you this: I now know what she was on about. You have to find the right socks and the right shoes. When you got a daughter and two sons, and one of the sons is in a different uniform as the middle son, and the daughter's got a complete school uniform. The parent has to run around and find clean uniforms every day. And let me tell you, I've just done, I think I'm up to 14 years of doing that. And I'm telling you, I hate school uniforms too, like my mother. And the fact, I knew she hated them, that's why I went on the radio and pretended to be the principal
you've got charisma coming out of the kazoo. We know that. Look, in America, you know, when they don't wear school uniforms, that's where you're going to have all sorts of issues with, you know, people wearing Nike Air Jordans and, you know, really
worse, expensive
players where
you've got the what's it, that gay rappers devil worshipping shoes with blood in them that were $1,000 a pair. Yeah. So there's some kids going to turn up with
Rick and Roller.
Rick and Roller raving on ultimate company.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, Saturday the 25th of September 2021, Rick and Rollo. Look, Rick, Saturday nights always cheer me up. Always cheer me up. Now,
what were
we talking about last week that I wanted to go over? The opportunity passport, the Lithuanian thing brought up. And I read that fully a couple of times. And
you did a good. Can I just button here? Yeah. I don't know about this week, but last week your reading skills were up there with someone with good reading skills. So you did a great job reporting that letter, because that was absolutely harrowing, because that's what's on the card here. It's on the cards here now. So I'll just drop this one. Yesterday,
I said before, with that guy that asked me about the QR code, he doesn't have any clue about how, you know, this opportunity pass, or what do you call it, health passport, or, you know, a green tick that you've been jabbed.
The green tick is Saturn, the star, the logo, Nike. That is Saturn, right? So we've got the Saturnian thing going on, and the tick is the big one, and the X is even bigger if you want to know about, you know, your esoteric symbolism. What I was going to mention is, that was a very powerful letter. And yesterday, because, you know, I'm getting paid by the government not to go to work, I decided to check up to make sure there's another couple of thousand dollars, you know, a couple of thousand dollars for nothing. We're going to go in my bank account. And the message came over I don't like going online. I'd rather ring up and speak to a person. Mm. And the recorded message said, if you're ringing about the vaccine certificate app, it's not ready yet. It will be ready soon, and we will contact you. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. So it's happening.
I've heard of spaghetti code, and, like, if you can't trust the goddamn software, you can't trust, like, what the hell they're putting in those jib jabs. What the hell's going in those things? There's no way. I want to go back to what the Aussie Cossack, Craig Kelly. Now, it's called the United Australia Party. He's, him and Clive Palmer, are going against lockdowns and jib jabs. And, I'm not into politics, but we need something to change. I mean, 18 months of this is enough. And if Craig Kelly and Clive Palmer
and Aussie Cossack themselves, 18 months is just a warm up for the. I think they've said there's 4 years of this on the way. So
did I hear Klaus Schwab on the ringing the doorbell?
There's Evil Joan Ad Lib. Yes, Roro. Of course, I'm here, but Rick has just gone off to the bathroom. I don't know what he's doing in there. I hope he's
Thank you, Klaus. Thank you, Klaus, for joining us. Roro.
Wonderful to speak to you again. Roro, can I just say this? I like to hear the depressing stories, though. Don't tell me anything positive, because I get very upset when I hear uplifting stories. So tell me how bad things are for you. Tell me if your dog
Okay. So in Sydney, we have a fellow by the name of Aussie Cossack. He's posting videos, RBU. Yemeni as well, and police bashing randos, just getting out and bashing randos. And now, you might know, Klaus, you might not know what randos are. Rando means random people. They're just bashing random people for no reason. except they don't have a job. And
let me just say this. Are they related to anyone famous? Or do they have a bloodline that goes back to the, wherever Dracula grew up? If they don't have the bloodline, they are useless eaters. And I'm sorry to say, I think, and I don't want to be too nasty, but I think they deserve what they're getting, because only the elites like Crash Forbender. I think you might be in the elite.
Listen. It's not up to you to say who lives or dies, or who is not up to you to use. It's not up to you to decide.
What I'm saying is, I have to say this. I have, Klaus Schwab had a very economic forum. Have you been reset yet? I am speaking to the most powerful people in the world daily. Yet, I still turn up on the Fakeologist audio chat to speak to you.
I thank you for being here, Klaus, but it doesn't make any difference. I still hate you with every...
Thank you,
to Robert. My core, I hate you.
Oh, yes, thank you. You don't have to compliment me like that too much. But thank you. Of course, you want to hate me. I love to be hated. Rollo, being hated is... indifference? There is, being hated is more indifferent than being loved, right? Or whatever the saying is. I think that you obviously love it.
No, I have an unbridled hate because vaccines killed my grandfather, and you never took a vaccine, did you? You lied to me last week. Took one.
Though I look like a knuckle-dragging imbecile, of course they don't take vaccines, but make sure this is edited out of the conversation again, please. Don't name any. I don't
want you. Fuck you. It's not getting edited out. It's not getting edited out.
Rolo, anyway, I have to go because I have just the moon landings were fake. I just discovered this, so I have to go.
What? The moon landings are fake? Where are you going with this?
Because Anthony Fauci told me the other day, we were having a barbecue at to my auntie's place, you've met her before, wonderful woman. Anyway, and then Anthony Fauci said the moon landings were fake because they did it because it's vaccination. It was a vaccination psyop, apparently. The rockets are the needles, and what's his name? Neil Young that landed on the moon, the first one. Neil Young, the singer. It was Neil Young. and he sang the song "Heart of Gold." There's a link there. I have not. But I'm just saying there's some links there, and IPS will probably go. So Neil Young lands on the moon, sings a song about hearts of gold, and there's some kind of alchemical thing there. But anyway, I think there'll be a good
Neil Armstrong, but there you go, Neil Young. I mean, maybe we should play a Neil Young song.
Whatever. Anyway, I'm having some Polish vodka. You should say, Klaus, what's in your hand? What's in your hand, Klaus? Say that.
What's in your hand, Klaus?
The vodka, Paul Jakov, premium vodka from Poland.
Well, look, and I still hate you to every
I love
part
you
of the core
Thank
of me, world. But I
Thank
really you appreciate you coming on to the Fakeologist audio chat. I'm gonna bring Rick back on. All right, I'm hung up on you, Klaus. All right, Rick,
I'll just go to the toilet. Now, Rollo. Klaus doesn't ad lib apparently, but somehow he managed to just before. But
did you hear what Klaus just said?
You said Neil Young was the first man on the moon. That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. I think he got it wrong. He was thinking of Neil Armstrong, but it's just
was he though?
Klaus
was
he? Much vodka,
and let me just going back. One of Napoleon Wilson's great finds: Neil Armstrong with the atlas underneath, holding the Earth, kneeling with very strong arms, holding the Earth. I'm telling you, there's a
we
played it last week, Rollo, please.
Yeah, we did too. Donald Rumsfeld. Yeah, he was the guy that was in charge of, what was that, sweetener? Nutrasweet or whatever it was.
Aspartame. And what about that piece of shit that we've got as our Dr. Carl Krusel, Krusel-Necki,
Oh my God!
The black man's version of hell from hell should be from hell.
Yeah.
Who
said?
Who also backed up that aspartame was good for you? Now that guy's a fucking. To me, someone said, "I'd rather my son." You know, I think my son's going to grow up to be a scientist. I would rather them grow up to be an ice addict slut in a strip club than a scientist. Because at least they've got credibility and they're doing a favour for people. Not like these scientists. Right. These scientists are liars of the highest magnitude. And I'll bring this, won't even wait for ad here. I was listening to a show last night. This is a guy older than me who thinks that he's quite clever and he is not bad. But he was quoting Mika Brzezinski, right, who works for MBSNN or whatever. What one of those big media?
Oh, MSNBC.
Okay. He didn't even click that that's Zbigniew Brzezinski's daughter. And what she said, she came out and she said, we, the media, need to be the ones that shape people's minds. And he was going, he was raving on about, what is this idiot saying? Now, get this. Her father, his book, Between Two Ages in 1972, said the same thing. He actually said, the media will soon shape people's, their thought process. Mika, 2 days ago, his daughter, said exactly the same thing on her new show, and no one picked up on it, apart from me. Now, another exclusive, psychologist.com.
No, that's fine. Hey, the media is now, it's trying to infiltrate where the young people are, like in computer games and on YouTube.
That's where they're going.
The media is suggesting that that thought crime. It's thought crime. It's 1984.
Minority Report.
No, just 1984 thought crime. just thinking the wrong thing.
Let's introduce Ab. From the North Shore of Lake Ontario, Terrible, Toronto, Canada, we have the one, the only fakeologist from fakeologist.com.
Hey. Good morning.
How you doing, man?
Good morning. I started early. Good morning. I'm okay. You? How are you?
Not too bad.
How's Rosie? How's Chrissy?
All the better. All the better to hear your voice. And Rick?
Yes, wonderful.
Rick, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I just spent the day painting across the road, and it's wonderful weather here.
It's hard for a worker like you to be screwed like this, I'm sure. Very hard mental.
I've become extremely demotivated over the last 10
years. Oh, I'm sure.
Did you find the Lynn Ertel and the other, did you?
But I didn't realize my VoIP system has been under attack since August 31st, and there's a few other VoIP voice over IP services in the UK that are also being attacked by IPS uses my system as well.
Yeah, he's been attacked.
Same one. But he uses it to just forward his phones. He just uses the number. He doesn't use their network. So he should be okay if they forward his phone number.
Well, I haven't listened to the Lynn Ertel or the other one with the other fella, but I did listen to today an Australian audio that you posted where an American interviews a guy called Troy.
I didn't finish that. I posted that for people like you and Esoteric, but I didn't finish.
Yeah, well, I listened to the whole thing. It was heartbreaking and just what's going on down under, especially down there in Melbourne. And
you're down under. There's a lot going on. This is not your ordinary communist takeover. Chris Sky, who I think is real. I could be wrong, but I'm going to go with real. He said he was watching his phone with his two buddies only a couple hours ago and watching someone typing a text message right in front of his eyes. So he says his phone was remote controlled. Now, I don't know if that's possible. I guess everything is possible with smartphones.
I reckon it is, sadly.
So he was trying to delete the message as it was being typed remotely on his phone. And I don't know. He should have... he had his buddies there. I hope he videoed that.
Yeah,
that
yeah
very
absolutely
interesting.
Look, I've been saying this for years.
But he just says we're on the next level of this fight, which, yeah, you know.
Well, I've been saying for the last 20 years, all I have to do is send one image of a 15 or 16-year-old girl that looks like an 18-year-old into your phone. You delete it. It's still stored on the hard drive deep down, and they can pull you
I
up.
Know,
and say,
I know.
You've got
I know.
Porn.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy.
Ab, shall I go to the blog? Before I go to the blog, thank you. Yeah.
I wanted to just confirm that you guys know what's going on. This is next level. I agree with Chris. He said this is next level.
Yeah.
What they're doing. He said they sent some young thugs after him. Seven of them. I don't know how many. Yeah. If he's on our side, he's definitely in danger, honest to God. This is a war. This is serious.
Well, you've seen
I guess you guys more than it. You guys more than anyone are seeing that.
You've seen
you
the guys footage.
Cops are randomly bashing people. Yeah.
So RVM, and he got four people that were walking to work yesterday that also they got jumped on by five cops and bashed just because they thought they were protesters.
Yeah,
I hope these collaborators realize that they're the first to go.
They should know.
That's all we've got.
Abandon my post if I was them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be the first against the wall when the revolution comes, but, death is too good for them. You know, death is too good for them.
I don't want to be an alarmist,
Dan Andrews.
Get worse each day here, that's for sure. Yeah. Not here, but...
I hate watching what's going on where you are, because I'm wondering if it's going to be here next. I guess so.
I would say so, sadly.
Yes, I agree. And by the way, yeah, I do really like that Amyl Nitrite song. I was listening to you earlier.
Amyl Nitrite. Yeah, I love that.
I didn't believe my thought, because last time we played it, you said that she sounded terrible or whatever, and I thought...
It didn't sound that great on the audio chat, just because we don't have the setup. But I went and downloaded the song or played it on Spotify, it did catch me with a little extra fidelity. Yeah, she is amazing.
They're going to go
worldwide, I think.
I feel so sorry for them, because they were just absolutely nailing it globally, getting all these huge reviews and British. American, even Japanese and Russia and all these places, because they are just an honest rock and roll band that are just completely honest. There hasn't been one of them for many, many years, as far as I'm concerned.
She's got great legs and great tits.
They have a great sound, but it's reminiscent of somebody else, but I can't place it.
Maria Laquita.
Mark Manuel. This is OBN.
Noise level. Polly Wilson.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
She sounds like somebody I've heard before in the past. I wish I could place it right now.
I reckon it's the Vinyls that Rollo used to play.
Maybe the Vinyls.
The Vinyls, the Angels. Yeah, they're just pub rock. Pub rock, mate. It's
just Aussie rock and roll.
I call it punk rock. Would you call it punk rock?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's definitely got that flavor to it, for sure. But they're just a really honest band. Like, as soon as I saw them, especially their song, it was unprecedented that someone would come up with a song saying, "Some mutts can't be muzzled." Everyone had to put masks on.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was a...
We've also been joined by an ounce of salt. Now, Frank, I'm not an ASIO. I'm not an ASIO guy. I promise you.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Morning, Frank.
Ni hao.
Hey, Frank, I need more salt, so I'll have to...
Terra Incognita. Jump on the website.
Okay. What's it called again?
Now, the website is how to take care of your penis. WordPress.com.
Southsalt.com.au.
Okay, yeah, okay, got you. All right, I'll do it.
Frank, I interviewed a woman who was a Jew for Jesus the other day. I thought of you, of course.
Do you think I'm a Jew for Jesus, like Rollo's an ASIO agent?
You're not talking
no,
about...
I don't I don't think you're a Jew, but I think you're for Jesus.
Are you talking about Mrs.
I definitely am for Jesus.
Yeah, so we're on there too. And Frank McGoldrick, you talking about Mrs. Costanza and Mr. Costanza that you interviewed yesterday. They were fantastic.
Georgie!
That's who she sounded like. The
Did
ones
really?
From Florida. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've got that real New York twang, haven't they? They've got that real New York twang, haven't they?
Georgie! Where are you? I don't like you.
Well, yeah, she said she's from Chicago and he's from Brooklyn. Oh, did you listen, Frank, to that?
I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, I did.
I better listen to it though. I'm excited to listen to it.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, good, Frank. Good.
Good interview.
Thank you, Rick.
I've heard Jewish Christianity is a thing now.
Frank, should we go to the blog?
Wait. What was Frank saying? Right. I was trying to hear what Frank was saying.
I was just saying that there seems to be a whole bunch of Jews for Jesus. It seems to be a thing now, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's always been a thing. They have a website. But she's not a Jew for Jesus. She's not in that organization.
All right, Frank. We were listening to a guy, Troy, who was a man on the ground that Ab posted an interview with. Now, you're a man on the ground in Melbourne. How's Melbourne at the moment, Frank? Like, what's going on down there?
When I drove through Melbourne just the other day, to pick up some salt flakes. Everyone was, where I went, the truck place that I went to, they're all the same as me. No one was wearing a mask. No one was even talking about it. Everyone was just getting on with their lives, doing the biz. Oh, I'm sorry. One guy turned up with a mask in his truck. He was driving a huge B-double, and as soon as he saw everybody without masks, he ripped the thing off.
Excellent.
That's normal human behavior.
I saw my best witness this week. I drove in to get a coffee from the cafe that I go to every day, and there were 40 or 50 old people all doing Tai Chi with no masks out in a park next to the cafe.
Oh, really?
And it was the first time. I was flabbergasted, you know, if that's the word. It was a fantastic sight to see. No one had a mask on. They're all over 70. I'm a young person where I live, let me tell you.
If I saw that would give me warm and fuzzy feelings.
Oh, man.
Old people,
no masks, doing Tai Chi in a park. Mm. That's the best thought I've seen this week.
I've never seen anything like that.
No, the blues I'm having on Facebook are nowhere near as heated anymore, except that one guy that I met through karaoke. He's an older guy. He's like 74, 75. He was starting to lecture me about, you know, other people think I'm a fool for not wearing a mask, and people at the karaoke scene are, you know, upset with me. And I thought...
Oh.
Number one, why would I give a rat's ass about what people at the karaoke use?
Exactly.
Point one. And point two, if you're going to raise this with me after I've deliberately not raised it with you in respect of your being an older guy, and I don't want to get you upset, but let's be honest, you have to be a complete raving lunatic to wear a mask, I said.
Good.
They, especially at your age, they're going to cause you harm, and they do cause harm. And the mask
will be the things that kill more people than the injections.
Without a doubt. And that whole, and then I went on about the, you know, you're telling me that I should get an injection when in 2020 there were 28,000 less registered deaths than in 2019.
Exactly.
What is going on in your head? COVID obviously saves lives. So I've just been really I've been really awful and sarcastic towards people now. I'd better back off.
Your sarcasm is welcome, Frank.
It was a bit harsh on this guy, though. You know, he's okay. Anyway.
Dude, at least I'm a bit more crazy. I have to do the count to 10 when I see people wearing masks that are in my eyesight and where they shouldn't be wearing masks. And I count to 10 very slowly, and then I turn my back on them, and that's what I do now. Frank, tonight I went down to get some vodka and Red Bull and the guy asked me to QR code, or have I QR coded? And he just served the old woman before me, who just bought a cheap bottle of wine, and didn't ask her, why'd you pick on me? Because I didn't have a face mask on. And so I said, are you sure you want this? Are you sure you want this? Why didn't you ask her? Either you're going to be consistent with, otherwise just, you don't want this fight. You don't want it because, with me.
I'm not.
If you want to start something, I will finish it. I will finish it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not experiencing any of that at all, by the way. I've just been out to get dips for the grand final.
Well, I'll tell you, Frank, I'll tell you a lovely story. Yeah, Frank, I'll tell you a lovely story. I met a guy in the IGA today that didn't have a mask. So I have to wear that little badge.
An exemption.
Thank you, Frank. But this guy was just walking around, old guy, and buying stuff, and he didn't have, and I said, have you got an exemption? And he thought like I was going to cause trouble, and I shook his hand, and I said, well done for walking around, and he goes, I'm not wearing one. And I went, mate, you just made me, you made my day, you know that feeling awesome. You get? Yeah, where I just went, you made my day, and his name was Graham, and there you go. Big shout out to Graham, who I met.
I'm not wearing any cords around my neck or anything. I don't do any of that stuff.
So it turns out in Victoria anyway
that the way they've written the laws, that police can't even fine you in Victoria, the way they wrote their legislation. So they've obviously knew what they were doing when they wrote the legislation. They tell people one thing, but what the legislation actually says is something different again.
Look, seriously, I'm looking forward to Nuremberg 2.0 and Dan Andrews spending the rest of his life in jail. That guy is just the worst, and he deserves, and Gladys, and Anastasia Palaszczuk, and I don't know what's going on in Northern Territory or South Australia or Western Australia, but I'm just saying that on the East Coast, our premiers need to spend the rest of their lives in jail, what they've done to Australia.
Well, my more pessimistic view is that their behaviour indicates that they are confident there's going to be no reckoning.
Right. The way the police are bashing randos at the moment, and it's just awful. At least we played, now, what was the song that we played at the beginning of the show, Rick? The Niggers with Attitude song. What was that one? 100 Miles. You still there, Rick?
He's gone to watch the grand final.
Oh, he might have. Yeah, we played a Niggers with Attitude song, and it's the police. What they're doing here in Australia is just disgraceful. What they're doing, what they're up to is just awful. And Aussie Cossack, and we've got RVMNE and a few other people that just, you got to film the police, film them. You just cannot let them get away with bashing old women, children, and shooting them. This is not the Australia I ever knew.
I'm still a bit. Well, I've always been sus of RVMNE or whatever his name is.
Yes, that's fine. Yeah.
I know that I saw a video today from a guy who quit the police force, and he is actually working actively to get exemptions for police officers and get them out of there, because a lot of them are coming to him and saying, you know, we need to avoid this stuff going on. So I suspect that there are some agents provocateurs among the police that, who knows, that they may just be plants. I don't know.
That's the oldest trick in the book, Frank. We know that. It's the oldest trick in the book. But there was a wonderful interview where this young kid went up to one of the riot squad members, and he said, look, my wife can't work. She hasn't worked for 2 months, and this is the only thing I know. And they go, well, but that's not going to save you, mate. That's not going to save you from what you're doing to civilians. But it's hard. You know, when you've got this power, and you're in this robo cop uniform where you really can't be hurt. And
the predator picture, I put that out on Facebook, and I've got, no one's been able to say it's wrong, by the way. Was Rick that you posted the predator picture?
I don't know if Rick's still with us.
He's gone. He's been cut off.
Yeah, I think he might have just done a runner. Let me just text him and see if what he's up to. No, Frank, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, I know you don't watch the news, but I actively watch it. I have to. I just want to see what they're up to. I want to see what they're up to. I like to.
The problem is it's news.
The writers should not be attacking the 7, 9, 10 SBS and ABC news guys, but they are actively lying, so they know they're going to be a target.
Do you believe really that they're, you know, again, I think there's a lot of... I'm yet to
Rick
be...
Rick is muted.
I'm yet to be convinced that it's not staged, all of it. You know,
when you saw him get, look, Frank, when you saw that guy got hit in the head with that beer can, it was a full beer can, and it hit him fairly hardly. Now, apparently, other riders.
And can we get advertising when we mention their name?
By the way, I posted a link to a couple, you know how Velocit does that beer commercial that you guys all like? Oh, he does that intro to your What's in Your Hand.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The No Agenda show has some producers as well. They did a takeoff on that.
A Velocit's thing.
Okay. No. It's a public beer commercial. I don't know what beer it's for down there, but someone else used that whole thing and did a whole.
Where'd you put the link at?
It's on the No Agenda show. It's not on YouTube, so you have to go rip it out of there.
Okay.
I don't have access to that, but I'm just saying that that's obviously a very famous beer commercial down there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, matter of fact, I remember. Okay, Frank. Yeah, play it.
No, that's it. I just said, matter of fact, I got it.
Oh, that goes dun, 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 da, 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 da.
That's the VB commercial.
Hey, Rick, you're back. Frank wants to ask you something. Ask Frank. What did you want to ask, Rick?
You posted a pic of the Predator symbol on the police uniforms.
Yes.
So I put that up on Facebook, and the same question you posed. Yep. Can anyone tell me if this is genuine or not?
Yep.
Is it really on the police uniform? No one said it wasn't. So they put on their uniforms, they've got a Predator symbol. It's just bizarre.
Can I read this quote that
Hey, before you read it, I want to play this for Frank. Ready?
Okay.
How does it happen? You're coaching the crew, or printing the news, or straining till you thought you would burst. You sure got a thirst. A hard-earned thirst needs a big cold beer. And the best cold beer is Vic. Victoria Bitter. You know how it happens. You're treating their sprains.
By the way, Rick, put some of your good links on my forum. Use TapTalk as you're on your phone. Please log in there.
Yeah, I've got to start.
Put your links there because I don't look at them on Discord either because it just scrolls away.
Well, Zafira, what's his name? He's a really nice guy from Australia, ex-army, that's on Fakeologist Discord. He posted a quote, and I'll read it now, and this is a very good quote. The good quote, men who wanted to be left alone. This is the name of the quote. The most terrifying force of death comes from the hands of men who just wanted to be left alone. They try very hard to mind their own business and to provide for themselves and those they love. They resist every impulse to fight back, knowing the forced permanent change of the life that will come from it. They know that from the moment they fight back, their lives, as they've lived, are over. The moment the men who wanted to be left alone are forced to fight back, it is a small form of suicide. They are literally killing off who they used to be, which is why, when forced to take up violence, these men who wanted to be left alone will fight with an unholy vengeance against those who have murdered their former lives. They fight with raw hate and a drive that cannot be fathomed by those who are merely play acting politics and terror. True terror will arrive at left's door, and they will cry and scream and beg for mercy, but will fall on deaf ears. And I totally agree with it. Yeah.
That's a good one.
You push a guy to lose his business. Well, I've done that to me. Mm-hmm. And they've done that to those guys in Melbourne. They're threatened with they'll never be able to go into a building site again unless they take up a vaccination. These guys are going to fight back, and that's what.
Of course,
and they're going to fight back up.
And these guys aren't afraid to hit their thumb with a hammer like the rest of the pussies out there.
That's exactly right.
I agree. I deliver to construction sites all the time now in the mornings, and I think you guys, whatever these guys do, these are real men. I'm just a soy boy compared to these construction guys.
They're tough guys.
They're outside. They're swinging hammers. They can make stuff. These guys are real men.
Yeah, and they're a blend. Like I remember from the
and smoke. Don't piss them off.
Sorry, Rick. Didn't Joe Jackson write a song in 1983? I wonder where the real men are.
Well, they were on building sites.
Where are the real men? Yeah.
Look, I can remember the most interesting conversations I had back in the 80s and the early in the mid 90s, and the smoko sheds, because you'd be, there'd be a team of bricklayers, there'd be a team of painters, there'd be a team of whatever, and there'd be guys from all over the world. Some of them,
you're listening to Rick and Roller.
Rick and Roller.
I wear my face mask in my car so I can virtue signal in my neighborhood.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
I wear my face mask when I walk so I can make sure they all know I'm really smart.
Thank you, Media Bear. Saturday, the 25th of September, 2021. Rick and Rollo, and yeah, we're here with Ab, and we are here with an ounce of salt per day.
Yeah, I'll just finish the conversation. So you'd be in a room at 9 o'clock and at lunchtime with up to 30 or 40 different people from all around the world, from all different things, and people, you sit there having conversations, and there'd be group conversations, and there'd be, you know, relationship disasters, there'd be, you know, where I came from before, and, you know, particularly ex-mercenaries, I used to love hearing that those guys, you know, especially the Irish, you know, saying that they all got forced out of Ireland, and then they got asked to join the Australian Army and fight for the Queen in Vietnam, and none of them, to a man, they all said that we all took off and left the country and went to South Africa and worked as mercenaries or construction or whatever. Real people do that job. You know, it's a job it's not a pleasant job. Demolition, paint, you know, it's a hard 10 to 12 hour day, but real people do it and do not deny a hard worker their bread to feed their family.
A fair day's work for a fair day's pay. I mean, everyone.
That's life. That's all we want in life. And I can remember that the guy, one of my great mentor that got me into what I'm into now, he said to me, I have traveled as a Scotsman, and he sounded like Alan Watt by coincidence, but he said, I traveled the world. He goes, I never met anyone that wanted to go to war. He goes, everyone just wants to have a family, to have a come home and have a beer and own their own house and to, you know, have a garden or whatever. That's the common denominator around the world. No one wants to be a soldier or go out to war and kill people. But they convinced you via the media that you're hated, you're discriminated against, whatever. They use sport, they use news reports, they use religion to divide and conquer us. And I found building sites to be the very equal denominator, that you're all part of, just you're on that site to do a job, to get paid and to pay your family and to, you know, give your money to your missus or whatever, and work hard and feed your kids.
Exactly. And these people in the media, I mean, they might think they're working hard, but they're not. And they're lying, and they wonder why they hate it.
They betrayed us. And that's why that can hit that 7 journalists in the head. And it hit him for good reason. Good reason.
And the union leaders, are being paid off. So that's why the rank and file are attacking the union hall, because they know the leaders are paid off.
Yeah, they suddenly realize. And Ab. It was one of the writers that went over there and helped him. The protesters. They went over and helped him. He wasn't hit that hard, but they went and helped him. Probably deserved it because 7, 10, 9, 80,
they are lying. I have been sharing onto Discord nothing but negative stories about these protesters. They've accused them of being coke dealers, coke users, alcoholics, disrespecting the dead, and also anti-vaxxers and right-wing extremists. These guys aren't. They're just your rank-and-file members of the construction industry.
But it's called demonizing the enemy. That's been going on since the beginning of war.
If anyone thinks we're in
something other than a war, they're disillusioned. Yeah. This is a war.
Yeah, we are, as I said last week, the belly of the beast, and we are at war with these demons running us. Simple as that.
And the mainstream media continue to call these guys right-wing extremists, terrorists, whatever. You've made the bed. Dan Andrews can't just say, all right, okay, let's just shut down construction for 2 weeks. What, the guy, has he got a brain in his head? I mean,
Dan is playing the role. He's loving his role. Dan is playing it. Like, I'll give you an example. Our premier here, he's disappeared for 3 weeks. I don't think he likes playing this role. And he just showed up last week for maybe a little press conference. He didn't answer any questions past a couple friendly questions. He's all but disappeared, but your guy, Dan, he's just loving this, and he's going to get it. He better watch out. He is going to get it.
He's going to get it, because he is obviously...
He's a collaborator extraordinaire.
And they've got the evidence of whatever he gets up to in his private life, and they're holding it over him and saying, you get out there, and you convince that public, otherwise that footage is going on eBay. It's going on Pirate Bay. It's going on whatever.
They're all compromised. All the premiers everywhere are compromised. That I agree with. Yeah. In some degree or the other.
I'll tell you an interesting one that I shared it all on Discord last night, probably futilely, in a futile gesture.
Put it on the forums, man.
This stuff is heavyweight Tyson, right? So basically, Joe Hockey, our premier, he's the Australian
ambassador to the USA.
Okay, right. Yeah. He is Armenian, right? The other Armenian is Beryl Gladys Jiklian. She's Armenian. Now get this one. Joe Hockey's grandfather, right, was sent by the Catholic Church to spy on the Turks in World War I, and then became the unofficial mayor of the area after the Australians and New Zealanders went in there and kicked the Turks out of Beersheba until they formed Israel 20 something years later. Joe Hockey's grandfather was a Jesuit heavyweight spy, and it's in the mainstream media. It's not even this isn't conspiracy theory. So Hockey is Armenian. Gladys is Armenian. The Catholic Church openly admit that he was a spy for them, which I would say Jesuit in brackets. And he went in there in the early part of the century, and they described him as the international man of mystery. He was the Henry Kissinger of 1914, and he's an Armenian that formed Israel. So Israel was formed by Jesuits. Simple as that. That's at the end of the day, and that's the mainstream media. And I shared all the links onto Fakeologists last night.
Lots of players.
There was a massive Armenian genocide, wasn't there? That was underreported back.
Do we believe that? Because the Turks were accused of massacring the Armenians. By the sound of it, the Armenians are far more powerful than we've been led to believe. Because look at Gladys, Joe Hockey, head of the American.
I mean, a lot of them are pure un-Australian. I mean, it's just coming out. So I said it last week. I mean, the hatred they have for us is palpable.
Totally agree. We are absolutely despised. And the New Zealand and Australians that went in there and did that job for the global government by routing the charge of Beersheba by the Light Horse back in 1915 or 16, that was a major battle play for the global future that what we're into now. So New Zealand and Australia are actually major players. Don't be fooled that Russia and China are big players. Australia and New Zealand actually did their part in forming this new world order that we are in right now.
Let me ask Frank, when you say
Australia, it's got nothing to do with me.
No, Frank, can I ask you a question?
Frank, let me ask Frank a question. Okay, so United's National Party or whatever, Craig Kelly and Palmer
I'm not a fan. Great Australia Party.
Yeah, so you're not a fan of what they're trying to do?
I'm not a fan. Look, I like what Craig Kelly's saying, but in the end of the day, they are showing all the signs of just being one of these,
Controlled opposition, Frank.
I just don't see it being other than steering. Clive Palmer is one of them, mate. It's like trying to get me to believe that Obama is Reinhardt.
The woman in, she never went into politics, and she's probably the richest person in Australia, Reinhardt.
Yeah, so she's Wayne Hancock's daughter.
Yeah.
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 And she's, I'm sure she's against these. I mean, she must be against these lockdowns.
I don't know anything about Gina Reinhardt at all, but she's probably the only iron ore magnate I have not met. I know people who know her and all that stuff, but I haven't met
Frank,
her.
Frank's met them all. Frank's met them all. Yeah. Let me just ask you, what was the big tubby up there in Queensland like in real life?
He's a very charming man. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Beautiful wife. Yeah. Beautiful Russian wife who's a nuclear scientist. Yeah. So straight away I know she's a fraud. Because there's no such thing as nuclear physics.
Yeah,
there's a slight problem.
Glad you said that.
So you met Craig Kelly as well. So what did you think of him?
I haven't met Craig Kelly.
Oh, okay.
He's a politician. He's not in the army.
Oh, thing. So not a mining magnate. Oh, okay. So you met Gina Reinhardt. So
I haven't met Gina Reinhardt.
Okay. Tell me the other mining magnates who you've met
the guys that I've met the guys that run the big businesses, the BHPs. In fact,
because Australia is one big mine, basically, isn't it? Like, and that's where certainly here in Newcastle, it's coal. That's all we do.
So let me move to one of my favourite topics in the world of mining.
Anything you want.
That is the mining tax. You heard about the mining tax, right?
Well,
the Labor Party brought in this mining tax because they reckon on the idea that the mining companies weren't paying enough tax from all this iron ore they're getting. Right? Mm. So they had this big brouhaha about, you know, making the mining companies pay more, run by the Labor Party. And the whole thing was to do exactly the opposite of what they said.
Right.
And as plain as the nose on my face, what was going to happen. Mm. So what happened was that the miners were iron ore, you were paying royalty to the West Australian government for every ton of iron ore that was being sold out of Western Australia. So in this mining tax, they had to pay up until the changes to this, what they call the mining tax, any minerals that got dispatched from Australia, the West Australian government got a royalty for every ton of iron ore that was shipped out, or every ton of coal that left Western Australia. And they, in response for this so-called higher tax rate, which in fact what happened was they got a big let off on their capital expenditure and end up paying much less tax. They got the royalties scrapped. So instead of Western Australia now receiving, you know, like this, like 700 million tons of iron ore, if they were getting $20 a ton royalty like they used to be getting, you know, they wouldn't have enough money. They wouldn't have a bank big enough for Western Australia to be stuffing all the money into. Whereas all of that got scrapped. And of course, the mining companies now don't make any money in Australia, so they're not paying any tax. The whole thing has just been fraud from start to finish.
So you're saying the companies avoided the tax using different methods?
They got rid of royalties out of, you know, royalties were paid to the Crown for any mines in Australia from inception. And now no royalties are paid on iron ore shipped out of Western Australia. So now Western Australia has a deficit when they should be having something like, what would you say? Like just in iron ore alone, I think there's 650 or 700 million tons. These are huge quantities of iron ore shipped out of Western Australia every year. If they were paying
no Australian sees a penny of that money.
No Australian sees a penny of it.
Yeah, it just sounds. Yeah.
That's all because of the tax.
And of course, it was the Labor Party that did that. It was Jodie Foster that did that.
Julia Gillard. Yeah, Jodie Foster. Frank, you're not going to roll me on that ever again. Look,
Frank.
What's
the company that the Queen and the Rothschilds own? It's the biggest mining company.
Well, they own both of them. They own Consent Rio Tinto, Australia.
Rio Tinto.
And they own BHP because what happened in both cases...
Coke and Pepsi. Yeah.
They did a, they decided we had to have dual listing, have a stock exchange...
Coincidence? I don't think so.
Stock exchange selling on the London Stock Exchange. And of course the shares on the London Stock Exchange were cheaper than they were on the Australian Stock Exchange, but that was just a, you know, oh, we don't know how that happened. Blah, 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 blah. And yeah, then, hey, Frank, and then BHP had to emerge this kind of phony
Rollo,
merger.
Rollo, you're an Rollo, take your ASIO personality and shut up.
Yeah. No, I was going to say to Frank, I've actually met, I met before he died, the head of Boral. And you remember Boral, the company? Ken Moss. I've known Ken Moss since I was a kid. He passed away. He became the Chancellor of Newcastle University, and I met him a few times.
Oh.
Yeah, lovely guy. He loved me to bits, and
all these guys are very charming. They're very charming.
They are so much. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they be?
Well, they're picked on their psychopathy, I believe, to become leaders of their fields. You know, they have a psychopathic nature to them to rise to the top, and that's the same with the politicians. I mean, have you ever heard anyone that's met Bill Clinton say that I thought he was dodgy? They all say he was a lovely man, and he looked in my eyes, and he was an absolutely wonderful person. These guys are psychopaths that are running the show.
It's like there's an episode on Getsmart called Simon the Likeable. That's what it's called.
Yes, exactly.
Rick, I did see, Ab's got this, channel called Memes, and I did like the one today. I don't know, I think it was, it could have been the fellow from Scotland. What's his name again? Benoit. Sorry, the French guy. It was, now, fuck Joe Biden, and there's Barack Obama saying, no, Joe Biden's there saying, oh, they all want to have sex with me. No. And then Barack Obama, they're going, no, that's not what it means, mate. They don't want to learn fucking. It was classic. No, I do like the meme section on Fakeologist. Look, let's go to the blog. So IPS, Gabby Petito Psyop, best coverage of crisis actors, Big Super 33, Kroger shooting, George Floyd hoax, Dr. Biden Psyop Corner, Fake News Theatre 2021. Is Ab still there? So this is on Podcast Addict. So I'm sure he's, promoting that. Gabby Petito, I don't even know what Gabby Petito is. Do you guys know?
Of course I do. She was a influencer. This is now a thing to be an influencer on Facebook or
she's an influencer no one ever heard of, by the way.
Yeah, I believe
that. Now, Ab, the word influencer is just new to me, like the way it's being used now. Influencer. Is that like because you're on TikTok or you're on, you know, on one of these social media platforms, you're an influencer? Is that what it means?
It's calling it like it is. We never use direct words that describe who the people are.
Rick and Roll,
these culture creating vehicles.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Jeffrey, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So the bottom line is, instead of us telling us these people on TV or cooks or talk show hosts, they're influencers. They culture create. They make your opinions for you. At least they're using words now that actually make more sense. So they're influencers. They're changing minds and behaviors.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone that gets blown up on these channels, that's what they really are. I guess you could say I'm an influencer, but I have very little impact because obviously I'm very small. Tiny.
Ab, you fly under the radar. And look, and I appreciate you for doing that. Okay,
yeah, but
so
I barely make a difference. I was thinking about that. I'm so under the radar that no one's heard of me, and I'm not a threat in any way.
No.
But I think people like Chris Skye, they're a threat. I think they have significant followers. They're a threat to the system. Maybe not a big threat, but they're still a threat.
Ab, what you do for me every Saturday night when we do our Rick and Rollo, you keep me alive. You give me a reason to live. And that's if that's not
that's
good enough for you, I don't know what is. Yeah,
that is good. That's very good. That's good. I'm happy.
Yeah. To talk to you every Saturday night is an absolute treasure for me. Okay, so the next one is I'd listen to this.
What about Rick? Rick is the best.
No, Rick's great. Rick is closely becoming my best friend, and I don't say that lightly, Rick. I don't say that lightly.
Rick, you're moving up. You know what that means.
Anyway. Keep going, Roland.
So, Ab, I mentioned this before. Troy in Australia, I listened to most of this, and this is an American talking to, so it's a good interview from Victoria, Australia. Who did the interview? I can't remember. Ab,
I never heard of this guy. I don't even know how that came up on my screen, actually. actually. That may have been an old-fashioned YouTube suggestion, which is a very powerful way to find new people. I still go to YouTube. I pay for YouTube, so I don't have to watch those commercials. So that that may have been a rando suggestion, and I never heard of any of them. I didn't finish the list. I didn't finish it. I'm not as interested in it. I'm getting more than my fill of Australia. I don't really like watching these negative shoot 'em ups in Melbourne. They're very disturbing because obviously it could come here. I don't think anyone really enjoys watching that crap, but it's disturbing as hell. So I feel bad for all the people in Victoria.
Yeah, that Troy guy sounded so much like, who's the guy in South Australia? Johnny's List or Wayfarer, you know, it very down to earth, and the American was trying to fathom what the hell's going on down under here, and it was a really good interview. So I really do thank you for posting that. All right, the next one is good.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I appreciate it. The COVID pack of lies is endless. So you've wrote lies upon lies. There's almost no way the average person will spend time sorting out the myriad of falsehoods and fictions, as we can see above in the picture. The Ontario government admits that they are openly deceiving the public regarding who's in the hospital, in brackets, vaccinated, unvaccinated. Click here to access the full Government of Ontario document and scroll down to section 3. Now, this comes from jchristoff.com government. What's going on here, mate?
Well, yeah, that I read that. I don't usually dive deep and read these things. This one I actually read all the way through. This Jason Christoff, you know, initials Jesus Christ, he's a little suspicious to me, but he's supposed to be from where I live on Terrible. And my God, just the litany of lies about COVID and vaccination and what a vaccinated person is. These guys are lying their asses off at such an extreme. I am so concerned and worried that so many, I think all the good people are leaving the hospitals, nurses and doctors. We're going to be left with nothing to go to if we get ill. And of course, that's everyone's biggest fear, getting sick and dying. We get that. So they're playing on that and driving people crazy. It's bad.
Well, imagine having a real heart issue right now, and you'd be possibly told you can't come in here unless you've been vaccinated.
I know. It's really bad.
Yeah. So guess what's going to happen? You're going to be one of those guys that just goes home and dies, because that's what happens if you don't go to hospital and get an ECG.
Let me be very controversial now.
Right.
When the Australian hospitals were shut down in 2020, the number of people that died in Australia fell from 169,000 in 2019 to 141,000 in
28,000.
Yes, iatrogenics is the leading cause of death. Third leading cause. Iatrogenics, which is medical intervention. We get that. It's telling. You know, you might be better off to stay out of the hospital.
I'm going to tell you straight off that I think a lot of people are better off. We're better off with hospitals shut down. That's been shown repeatedly, and Marcus Allen was a guy that got me onto that.
Yeah, well, Frank, when I got pneumonia when I was 34.
Not 33. You didn't say 33 on here,
34.
Did you?
34. Yeah, yeah. It was 33, 34. Anyway, I got pneumonia, and I had taken Chinese medicine, and I'd gone to a Chinese doctor who couldn't speak any English, and I tried to tell him I think I have, because I had terrible temperature, and he gave me gypsum and all these other things, gypsum to raise your temperature to kill a virus that the Chinese would use, and if you take gypsum when you've got a high temperature, good luck. And so I went to hospital, I was throwing up, I couldn't eat anything, I staggered to hospital.
Like you're using old school language, you don't kill a virus.
The virus is not
what's killing you, my brother.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I went
into You should have been taking massive doses of nutrition to help your body repair itself. Viruses are not contagious. They don't kill you.
This is actual story. I staggered into a casualty ward in Balmain, and I said to the guy, I said, I've taken Chinese herbs, and he put me on an ECG, and I blew it out of the park, you know, like whatever my heart was doing, it was going. And luckily, for me, there was an Australian doctor on there, and he said, send him home, give him some Panadol, and he'll be fine. But luckily, there was a New Guinean doctor on an internship there who said, nah, that's not good. You know, this guy's got a high, high temperature and his heart rate's through the roof. They put me into a room for three, I was there for 3 days and I asked the doctors there, is this contagious? And they said, no, it's just, you're fine. Everything's good. When I got released and I went to my normal doctor, he said, no, you've got, mycoplasma, which is highly contagious and you could have killed anyone that was, you know, look, it was really in the hospital. And they put me into the folks ward. And I realized then that doctors don't know what, unless you've got two different doctors on one thing that will have two completely different opinions about your diagnosis. They're not using logic. They're using whatever they were taught at university.
Rick, it's simple, mate. If you've got a bone sticking out of your body, they know what to do. I mean, it's just that simple. It's like, but when it comes to medication and vaccines or making, you know, childbirth a bloody medical procedure, like when they did that, it was just unbelievable, you know. Normally, you know, it costs $6,000 to have a home birth now in Australia. Like, everyone should be having home births, you know.
Absolutely.
Making it into a medical procedure, yeah, it's just wrong. Anyway, look, let's just move on to the next one.
That was just going back to Ab's saying that everyone's worried about what's going to happen to them in hospital. I'm just simply pointing out a fact that when they shuttle the hospitals down, even for, you know, the number of people that have died from upper respiratory infections
dropped
most, 30%, obviously because they weren't in a hospital with other sick people. I mean,
it's not the caring profession.
No, it's not the other sick people, Frank. It's not the sick people because don't spread the myth that sick people make other people sick. That's a lie. We got to get out of this paradigm.
Well, if you've got
it's a medication that's toxic that hurts people.
Absolutely.
I think you're mixing up two things. I think we've mixed up two different things, Ab.
Yes.
You're saying, I agree with you that viruses are not infectious, right? Or not even a thing. But the thing that's making people sick most of the time won't be that. It will be the sort of stuff that Rick is talking about. It will be a kind of bacteria or a fungal infection, which is causing the problem.
I had a bacterial infection of the throat that was highly contagious. It was called mycoplasma, whatever it's called. And that's a known, that does pass to people. And the
reason that we're having people die in hospitals because their model of what sickness is based on a fiction, the virus fiction. That's what it is.
Yeah. They allowed me to recover in a ward full of old people when I had a highly contagious form of pneumonia and was told, that's not contagious, but my doctor afterwards, who's been...
Pneumonia's a bacterial infection, so it is infectious.
It is. Oh,
man. I'm not sure. I don't know if I believe that pneumonia is contagious.
Oh, man. No, mycoplasma is contagious.
Pneumonia is a bacterial infection.
Does it make it contagious? Bacteria is part of our body.
We don't need to dissolve it now, Ab. I just wanted to say that I disagree with you that all infection is a myth. Yes, viruses are a myth. Yes, the mechanism of virus.
No, I'm talking about contagion.
I'm talking about contagion. Bacteria are living things, and of course they can,
when you're coughing like I was coughing, let me tell you, it was spraying.
Does it make it contagious, though? I think that's a myth.
Unfortunately, I disagree.
So we can leave it there, but I'm just, for other listeners, I disagree.
Yeah, I disagree too.
Okay.
I'm going to go for a refill. I'm not going to leave just yet. Rick, can I play this for you, Rick? Can I play this for you? Here we go.
You got to introduce your songs, Rolo.
Thomas Darling, you blinded me with your science.
Try and hit the post. Too late.
Oh.
child.
All right. Thank you, Thomas Darby. Look, sorry about it.
Dolby.
Get it right, Rolly. Rollo. I've just had a couple of bickies, so give me a break. Look, I really appreciate talking to you guys on a Saturday night. And like when we're blinded,
we call you Stoned DJ. Stoned DJ. That's
you
good.
Call me anything you want. Don't call me late for dinner or whatever your old
saying
was. Exactly. Let me just go back to the blog.
Get a song out.
So the next blog post is, who is dangerous to our democracy? More evidence of amazing worldwide synchronized event. And your source is the WHO is dangerous to our democracy. Now, you've got one reply on this. Do you want me to read the reply? You guys still there?
I'm here.
Thank you, Frank. It was Mike D. Mike D wrote, voters are the ones that dangerous to our democracy, not the WHO. So that was the next blog post. All right, let's get moving on.
You didn't ask me about my scrutineering on Monday. I went to the polls in my neighborhood and watched the ballots be counted.
Tim.
Go ahead, Roland.
A very important question for you.
Go ahead. You are a performative nut.
Thank you, Tim.
There was a very important
election with Justin Trudeau, and you did some scrutineering over this democracy. Tell us about that, mate.
It wasn't very important. It was actually not important. It was a waste of time and money, like everyone thought it would be, and it just took another snapshot of the people and what they believe in, and the people obviously are happy with him. They love the money that he's doling out. It'd be very hard to lose when you've given out trillions of dollars. I don't know what else you could do to get elected again. So the people are very content with what he's been doing, basically stealing from their children and their children's children, and they like the direction of that the state is going towards, complete total dictatorship and communist control, where you'll absolutely have to do nothing to earn your keep. So now I watched the ballots be counted, and I really wanted just to see if I could watch the first, say, 100 or 200 ballots be counted and see if that was going to be the actual result, at least in my riding. And it was. I watched 100 ballots be counted randomly out of the box. And the results were exactly as the night was finished. So the first 100 ballots, the ratio is exactly the same all the way the night through, and the status quo remains here. The party that I voted for, which is the only party against vaccine passports, they got about 5%, which was totally accurate where I was. Might even been less or higher. But the point is, we have a paper ballot system. I don't think the election was rigged. I know some people say, well, the totals were rigged. I doubt it. I really doubt it. I really believe that Canadians, this is how they think. Urban Canadians control rural Canadians. That's just by the numbers. And this is what Canada wants. They want vaccine passports. They want a two-tiered society. Those that make the sacrifice of the needle, they want extra privileges. And Canadians are just as much unprincipled as anyone else in the world. They're not for equality. They like discrimination, because if you don't follow their religion, then they don't think you should have any benefits. You shouldn't be able to fly. You shouldn't be able to go to movies. That's how Canada is. And unfortunately, that's how people are. And that is why all the institutions.
The opportunity
cards.
That's what
Canada wants.
That opportunity.
I
read that. I read that
want.
Thing.
It's not rigged. I'm sorry to say the humans are just as the controllers thought they were.
Stupid as fuck. That's the best way I can describe it.
Rick and Roland. Rick and Roland.
This is Without a Trace.
Brucello.
Will Lose.
Tenreal.
Zulo.
Merbliss.
SMG.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
They really think that the people that are out there protesting.
Yeah, it's Saturday the 25th of September 2021. Rick and Rolo, look, I just want to ask a stupid question. Is this a stupid question? Who was going against Justin Trudeau? Who was against him?
Nobody. Nobody was. They were all singing from the same songbook. There was one guy on the right side, and he adopted the anti-vax, anti-passport.
Right.
And you could tell he's not sincere. He's not sincere. He's more of a Clive Palmer guy. He's co-opted the movement.
Yes.
Steered into nowhere. He's not sincere. I think he's a phony baloney because he's been in the power system for a long time, which I don't trust anyone who's been in the system for the last 20 years. Sorry. Doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah,
you can't be. You're part of the system. We need somebody from out of left field.
Yeah, someone out of the, almost out of the stratosphere. But anyway, I just had a message from Critical Thinker, and he and was just informing me that London and or Brighton, it's mile long queues to get in and to a petrol station. People tooting with their hands permanently on, you know, the horn.
Really?
Just, yeah. So it's going over.
What's going on there? Ask him to come
what
in.
He's got to go to bed, but what he told me was that it's like the toilet paper scam here in Australia.
Exactly the same.
He's got to go to bed. It's morning there.
Yeah. So what he said was that, you know, the newspapers said, you know, there's a shortage of petrol, and then it was on for young and old.
Yeah. What would you say?
Human beings are such panicky animals.
Well, if you tell people, you saw what you saw in the grocery store. As soon as they say, don't buy more toilet paper, what do the public do? Can I just tell a story, right? I was I was the expert of getting little children to eat when they didn't want to eat. I used to say to the parents, including my
reverse
own
psychology.
I walk in and say to the kid, I'm coming. I used to walk up to them and say, don't eat your food. If you do, I'm going to get really upset. And I'd walk out of the room and I'd walk back in again and they were stuffing the food down the head. And I used to just pretend to be really upset and jump up and down the spot and run out the door. And that was an instant cure. This reverse psychology works every time. That's how dumb we are.
You're the man, Rick. That's why I love you so much. Okay, so let's move to the next blog post. Tucker Carlson misinfo killed my dad. Now it says shameless, disgusting stage, but very effective atrocity, fake propaganda. Now this is from a tweet. I'm not on Twitter. From Ron Philipkowski. Katie Lane, whose father Patrick recently died of COVID, was asked this morning why he didn't get vaccinated. In quotes, he watched some Tucker Carlson videos on YouTube, and some of the videos contain misinformation about vaccines. I believe that played a role.
Fucking bullshit. Yeah. Man. Did you just say Katie Lang's father?
Yeah, now it's got four replies. Let's read all the replies here on Fakeologist and see what
they're basically the crisis actors. They were really pathetic. It's what's going on now. It's full on.
Okay. Here you go, Ab. Anonymous has written, are you here to cut out, in quotes, the mainstream media? I assume that's mainstream media. Question. Alan Donaldson.
No, you got to start at the beginning. You're reading them backwards.
Okay. So
that's
Alan Donaldson.
That's what makes the show great, right, Ron?
You're right, mate. You're right. Alan Donaldson wrote, as Denzians, what are Denzians? What are denizens?
People that live in a place.
As denizens.
They're like citizens.
Of the fakeologists. Likely know and appreciate. Miles Mathis, outed Murdoch's Fox Tucker Carlson, first published of May 1, 2021. In that essay, another Miles Mathis opined that Tucker Carlson not only served the role of controlled opposition, my capitalization, perhaps chief spinner, but also the powers that be. Again, my characterization of the nameless ones behind the obvious governors have taken groom of Tucker Carlson for bigger and better things. Perhaps a run for 2024. The latest episode appears to be a solid nudge in that latter direction, and thanks for bringing it to light. I have not had a television set for 15 years and haven't watched TV shows in 17. Sort of like AA, I suppose. So he's talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, there's a guy called Dr. Mindbender. He's written, that guy has been annoying for years.
He's been here a while, yeah.
Bowtie wearing yacht club Alex P. Cretton character that has been used to play at a pole well to pull yourselves up by the bootstrap wannabes. Like, could you put a sidekick to Trump on The Apprentice when he, was he Tucker Carlson a sidekick to Trump on The Apprentice, was he? Anyway, I'm sure Miles Mathers tied him all the way back to King Tut, showed how his ancestors came over to on the Mayflower. And the only thing you really need to know is that his dad was a banker turned Voice of America. Monica Lewinsky's stepfather had the same job. Have a look at the guy's resume. Worked it with Bernays. Wag the freaking dog, indeed. So that Dr. Mindbender.
Yeah, Mindbender. Yeah, on the money there. Bernays' nephew's now running Netflix. Work it out. Everything you see on Netflix is mind control. It's 100% fucking.
That latest remake of He-Man, Kevin Smith's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it is just disgusting what they've done to it. But at least there are YouTubers that are making fun of it. That at least I can have fun when they have fun with it.
My son was
good guy.
My son went to see the new Marvel Chinese Chai Ching or whatever it's called.
He said fantastic.
Yeah. He gave it 10 thumbs up. If you can have 10 thumbs up. Yeah.
And I heard it was terrible.
Well, yeah, exactly. Mm. No, I heard the same thing. He said fantastic. So what do you do?
I'm still hanging out for the new Matrix coming up at the end. And on October 8th, the new James Bond, No Time to Die.
Yeah.
Where they're going to replace it. It's coming out. And it's really going to be $900 million just to break even. No way.
Do you want to watch that?
Paramount. Paramount.
You know what's going to happen in that movie. It's going to be James Bond replaced by a black girl that does all the killing, and he's just
a lesbian who identifies as a trans.
Yeah.
Let me get back to my voting story because this is kind of funny. Let me get back to my scrutineering story because I want to. I don't really get out in public much, and this was a strange thing that I did, but I wanted to do it. The returning officer in charge, one of them. was a woman. I thought it was a woman, and then I read its name tag. I'll now refer to that person as an it. I read its name tag, and it said a male name, and underneath it said his and him, because they always, now this is a new thing where you put your pronouns. And I looked at the person, I thought, you are an overweight, not good-looking woman, and now you're telling me you're a man. And I checked the person. Now they're wearing shorts, they had a little hair on their legs, and I thought, no, there's really nothing. There's really no evidence that you're a man, but you want to be a man or be called a man's name. I won't mention the name. And the person was friendly enough, and I thought, and then I looked at the men coming into the polling station. I thought everyone had just masked right up to their eyeballs. I just had a real sense of despair as to these are the people. This is the population. Yeah. So that's why I thought whoever's voting and the way they're voting, I can see it now. I know. Yeah. It's really disheartening.
We have no hope. We have
no. Rick, come on.
Well,
Fakeologist Rick and Rollo on a Saturday night gives us all hope because, like, seriously.
I know, but these are the people Rick, we're dealing with.
I know. These are the people out there. I agree. It's futile.
And I'm trying to get my daughter to do a segment on my weekly show just to tell me what to eat and absorb because she's watching TikTok all the time. Yeah. And she was cursing white people last night. I said, why are you talking like this? You're white, for Christ's sake. Well, she said all the idiots on TikTok are white and they're talking crap and stupid things. I thought, You're being taught to hate yourself.
Yeah,
it's so destructive, Rick, what's out there.
I've got three teens that all look at me like I'm the lunatic. And they.
I know. And I'm starting to get some really nasty feedback from her. Like, she's really sick of what I talk about. She doesn't want to hear it. They stick her finger. She's actually almost nasty at this point.
I've got two sons that are mini-me's that are just mocking everything I say. And when I try and talk over them, one of them in particular can actually talk over the top of me, which is definitely, he's been bred well. And I'm just driving along going, oh, look, I almost give up. But I say, listen, you have been manipulated in your brain. Everything you've been giving me is not your own thoughts. You've got that thought from another TikTok or another, what's the thing they're on? It's not TikTok, it's Instagram.
Oh, they're on Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, all these places.
So we look like the dads in nutcase. He's clearly mad. Just don't ignore everything he says. And I'm getting that all the time. It's not a joke.
Anymore. I know. It's not good. I can't compete with these social medias.
Won't you come Frank?
Frank, you finally did anything with your grown children?
Yeah, I have been talking about this for how many weeks now? Months.
The next blog post is Eva from Florida.
You just cut off Frank. That's Frank finishes.
There was nothing. It was just.
No, I.
The key issue here is that the deceivers are experts at what they do. All I have, as the meme says, is memes. How awesome are the memes, though? They're pretty funny.
Good stuff. And
is it's pointless being hopeful. That hopium thing is destructive.
Yeah, look, Frank, what I thrive on is what I call negative positivity. This is my invention. Negative positivity.
Oh, wow. Negative positivity. That's nice.
So you know it's going to get wrong. You know things are going to go bad. And when they go wrong, you go, I was right. So basically, you just focus on negativity, that everything you say is going to get laughed at and everything's going to go wrong. And when it goes wrong, you go, I was right. Because I said that was going to happen. So negative positivity is the new thing.
Have you ever been wrong in your life, Rick? Have you ever been wrong in your life?
I haven't, not really, but unfortunately my children think I am. But I knew that they'd say that I was wrong, so I was right, I assumed.
It is hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way, Rick, isn't it?
Put hard to be hard.
Oh, thank you. Frank, you're a classic. And I swear to God, I can't wait to get back down to Melbourne. Eva from Florida. Now, this is a chat that Ab did. Now,
Eva Costanza.
You can call me Al. Has written he says, an excellent call. I really love hearing Eva and Fred. Eva was open and honest, despite Ab and Marcus throwing some quite difficult questions her way. Refreshing to hear people not being triggered, but prepared to give their best answers.
Eva's husband was fantastic. I thought he was good. I loved his voice, and he answered the question, and he said, Marcus was doing the usual thing, which you can easily do, is make the Bible look totally hypocritic or hypocrisy, whatever. It's easy to do, but you've got to understand the Bible has been written Aramaic and Greek and lots of different languages, and the translators are very dodgy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So it's not all hypocrisy.
The trouble I have always had with the Bible, and it's not my own thought, it's probably come from, Monty Python or somewhere, where you go, it's not slightly adaptable. I mean, allegory is one thing, right, when it comes to... Mostly, I kind of tend to think that there is a higher power. It's just you should it shouldn't be institutionalized. Well, I mean, the Pope is not giving, the Pope's going along with the jib jab. It's disgusting.
There's nothing Christian about the Pope. But I'm with David Matheson and his interpretations of the Bible. And he is still a Christian, despite the fact he understands that most of the books were written with star progressions in mind. Yet he's still a Christian. And I'm with him. You know, there's a meaning to these progressions. And the lessons that the Bible gave
were... For our dummies, sorry, Rick. What are star progressions? I don't know. What does that mean?
Well, that's the movements of the stars and the different things. So basically, something like
the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
When they
stopped worshipping the bull, when Moses brought in the fish. When they moved from the bull to the fish and all that stuff.
That's it.
When Jesus moved from Taurus to Pisces, and now we're moving to the age of Aquarius.
We're in Virgo now.
Whatever it is.
We're not in Aquarius, we're going to something else apparently. But now Dave Matheson, I'm almost convinced Ab interviewed, but maybe I'm wrong. But,
no, I never heard of him.
Oh, Dave, well, he's the guy that does star progressions and he's a Christian.
Oh, man.
And he said that basically every legend you've ever heard from the Greek to the Roman to the Egyptian is the stars. Yeah, so it's a...
I saw Jupiter. We saw Jove last night on our walk. We saw Jupiter.
There you go.
And how do we know it's Jupiter? Because you can hold your iPhone up to... You can hold your phone up to the sky and it tells you what you're looking at. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
We saw Jupiter, by Jove.
By Jove. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very witchy. Very witchy. Yeah,
but Waterman Chris is
there. And Fast Value was there too.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
G'day.
Morning.
Hey, Fast Value. Good voice, man. Fun.
Listen to those tones.
Yes. Mm. You can hear that tone, man. You can tell that's that man.
Fast,
do you do any karaoke? Can you do "Oh Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble When You're Perfect in Every Way"? I reckon you'd crack that out.
Who sang that, Frank? Was that
Mac Davis from my hometown?
Mac Davis, pretending not to be.
Yeah, Mac Davis, great singer, but that hard to be humble.
Oh Lord, it's hard to be
hard
humble.
To be humble if you're perfect in every way.
I can't wait to look in the mirror.
In the mirror.
I get better looking each day.
Something. And the
I want to hear how you sing. Was born under wandering star. Lee Marvin. Yeah,
but it was Paint Your Wagon and had Clint Eastwood and a musical which I'd never.
Rick and Roll.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Keep on rocking.
Go, Rick.
No, I was just talking about Paint Your Wagon. It had Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin and a whole lot of others doing a Western musical, and none of them could sing, as far as I'm aware. But I do like Lee Marvin's "I Was Born Under a Wandering Star," great deep voice.
That was it. You got it.
Did you know this? Now, interesting fact. Lee Marvin used to come over to Australia as a deep sea fisherman, and also New Zealand, and was a big one of those big fish for the
marlin.
Marlin fisherman. Yeah, so he was a marlin, expert marlin fisherman.
He used to fish with Bob and Dolly Dyer from.
Bob Dyer, exactly, you're right. So Bob Dyer was one of our radio hosts back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, I remember Bob Dyer. Yeah. It was Pick a Box, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Pick a
Box. Marvin, though, used to come over here and fish as a, he was just a knockabout. Real guy, That's what I love about the old axes from those days. Ex-World War II vet, knockabout, get into fist fights, punch your head in if you got into an argument with them, and as a deep-sea fisherman, you just try.
By the way, Forest Valley's here early today. Sorry.
G'day. How's Florida? What's going on in Florida?
How was the no-agenda meeting in the last week? How was the meeting, the meetup?
No, the meetup was great, yeah. Hoy was there.
Excellent.
Adam showed up. I don't know if Adam joined the call a couple of times after the first No Agenda meetup we did a few months back.
Adam in the wheelchair?
Not Adam Curry.
No, Adam, what was he, Coding Dad, I think, was handled over here.
Yeah, we had Adam on the Fart podcast, the Adam that was on Hoaxbusters. He's in a wheelchair and he's very clever and he did a lot of Star Wars stuff. Adam,
I never heard
Miller.
Of him.
Adam Miller. Yeah, you know, he's very good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know where he's gone. So I'm not on the Hoaxbusters site or anything like it. But there's a lot of good thinkers that are roaming around still. I would hope still alive.
Rick. Yeah, Rick. Let's get a Florida update. Come on. What's going on?
There's nothing to report here, really. I mean, other than the fact that Florida seems to be pocket of relative sanity compared to everywhere else, as far as what's coming down, you know, from the politics.
But aren't you guys in the crosshairs from Biden? He's going to do whatever he can to interfere and screw up the state. And of course, the numbers, the simulated numbers, they're going to attack Florida. There's no doubt in my mind.
It's hard to tell how much of this is scripted in advance. And if they're, I don't know, you know, like what would be the point of having Florida be some kind of holdout, but it seems like it is.
It's a dialectic. Dialectic. You're not going to get away with this in Florida, for sure.
No, probably not. I'm kind of lucky that
this is a worldwide event. They're not going to let anybody out. Nobody's going to get out alive.
Yeah, no one comes in alive.
I'd be curious about surgeries, so, you know, from what I haven't been nearly as drastically affected as the first world countries in terms of numbers. And I mean, there just may not be a lot there that they want, you know, no middle class maybe or whatever. I think the war is really on the middle class. I see it.
Oh man, 100%. Yes. That's exactly.
I think it's on the Christians, on the tribe of Dan.
Well, that's been under attack for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just a continuation of that, as far as I can tell.
Well, I would agree, except for the fact that they seem to have really rolled the atheist up into this psyop in a big way, which I find
still ironic. Tribe of Dan. The atheists are still Tribe of Dan, still the white people.
Is that what the Tribe of Dan is? I've never heard of that.
So the Tribe of Dan is the guys that ended up in the Caucasus Mountains. That's why we're called Caucasians. Then they moved through along the Danube River into Denmark, Norway, and into Scotland and England and Hibernia. Well, that all happened, well, we don't know, but say about 1500 BC. And in fact, Jesus Christ used to visit Britain with his uncle, who was a tin,
what?
Who was a trader.
And I guess what? I was there.
A long drive.
No,
it's a long drive.
It's a long donkey ride.
Joseph of Arimathea and his tin mines. I was there. I went there and visited it, and it's a fucking amazing place. Let me tell you. Like, you can just feel there's a good, that's Glastonbury.
And in fact, they still have holdings of land equested to the. To all those people at Glastonbury, they still have a special land holding that they still hold.
Well, interestingly, by coincidence, you know where all the big crop circles and those incredible weird symbols, that's all around Glastonbury. There's nowhere else in England to get them. And when I went there, the tor, which is T-O-R, it's this kind of symbol, look, it's a stone monument on a mountain. It was completely covered by green hessian when I was there. And I climbed up the top of it and looked out, and it was just like, you can feel this. There's a vibration. Well, there's something amazing about that area. So, yeah, I felt proud to have gone there. And when you drive there from London, there's these giant, like, that's where that giant white horse is carved into the side of a hill with limestone, made out of limestone. Right. It's an incredible spot. That's all I'm going
to
say.
It's said to be the reason why Britain became one of the earliest converts to Christianity is because Jesus was well known in Britain from the trips of his...
I'll tell you this one. Oxford University's theme song, "Did Those Feet in Ancient Times Live, Walk Upon England's Counties Green?" It's called
Jerusalem.
Song, Jerusalem, okay. It's a thing. I believe he was there.
And was Jerusalem
Yeah, that's the one.
On England's dark journey.
I knew you'd know that song. But I was there, and I've been there, I've experienced it. The rock formations, these giant fucking, and I'm telling you, man, there's these giant rocks in the middle of nowhere that they've used to make houses out of over the last 400 or 500 years, or maybe 1,000 years, or whatever. But they're still there. It's like Glastonbury is an amazing place, no doubt.
You're supposed to say there's a there there. Anyway, getting back to Fast Value, I apologise for interrupting you, Fast.
Yeah, sorry, Fast.
Yeah, Fast is he's trying to dig out the axe. He's going to play some Max for us tonight, aren't you, Fast?
Rollo, what are you drinking tonight?
I've had a few Vodka and Red Bulls and two. I've had two biggies, unfortunately. I might have to go, but what you were singing before reminded me of this.
Was that Hayley Wiston-Ra?
Forever. That was actually the Vicar of Dibley theme tune, and I love it so much. Yeah, it is the sweetest song. It is the sweetest song.
Look,
they're all almost all gone now, all the actors in that.
Jennifer Saunders is still alive.
Yeah, no, not Jennifer Saunders. It was the other one, French. Dawn French was there.
But we've lost. I climbed up this open mountain in England and Glastonbury top and looked down on the area that, because I've been into crop circles, I don't even want to go.
The ley lines, are you into ley lines as well? Did you go to Stonehenge when you were there as well?
Yes. I ignored Stonehenge. You can't even go and touch the stones because they probably could be made out of balsa. But I went to Glastonbury, and Glastonbury is where one of the best rock festivals in the world was held for many, many years.
And the vibe in this village, and it's all old buildings, all stone, and you go up to the tour, a Glassbury tour, and look down, and you just see, as far as you can see, there's wheat fields and crops all over the place, and that's where these crop circles have been spotted the most. But allegedly, it's Joseph Arimathea was the tin miner, uncle of Jesus, and he came over there, allegedly, and did a bit of a tour back in the day. And you can feel this,
Rick, I can tell you, getting a little bit ripped. Hey, look, what was the best band you saw? What was the best band you saw at Glastonbury?
It's
probably a hard question. Just give me all the bands that you remember that at Glastonbury.
Well, I'll tell you who did some amazing. The last concert David Bowie did at Glastonbury was awesome.
So you saw him live? Well done.
No, I did, but not there. Yeah. Okay. Amazing place, let me tell you. My friend knows about it. Mm. Hey, anyway, guys, I'm going to go, man.
I'll catch up with you next week. I'll catch up with you, Rick and Roller, next week, as every Saturday.
All right, man. Over now.
What song would you like to go out with?
Thank you, Rick.
Played what I wanted to play, see whatever you want to play,
Rick. Don't forget to post some of your work to the forums, okay? Put your work on the forums, please.
You're right, because I'm over Discord. I think I'm wasting my time.
I like to read your stuff. That way you can read it in a nice, orderly way at your leisure.
Yeah.
Start a thread. Okay, sure. Anything you want.
All right. While we got Rick in a really drunken state, why did you want me to play that niggas with attitude song? What was it called? Again, the niggas with attitude. Why did you want me to play that?
It was the perfect song for what went on with those construction workers. It's like you're getting you go through the city, you're getting hit by left, right, and centre by cops, and it was a good song. Let me tell you.
And I played the wrong version. I'm sorry. You wanted me to play the bad
one. And they were shot at from behind with rubber bullets, by the way.
From behind with rubber bullets. Unbelievable, man. It's
pretty full on.
Full on is the best way.
What was the song? Fight the Power? Fight the Power?
Anyway, Rollo played it,
I played the wrong version, unfortunately. Yeah, I should have played the bad language version.
You played the version without the swearing, so it's probably a good thing.
Right? Without the swearing, yeah.
Anyway, guys, gotta go. Anyway.
Alright, I'll talk to you next Saturday.
Rick, good on you. I'm missing you
already. See you, Frank.
Yeah, there goes Rick.
Good man, Rick. Good man.
He is, isn't he just? Alright, do you want me to continue on with the blog? Melbourne Meltdown, Abby, you've written this. If you followed the mainstream media, you wouldn't know about the flying rubber bullets. I have taken some time to do a compilation out of the Melbourne, Australia, as well as the terrible news. There is an inspirational in brackets towards the end video. This is from seymourrocks.is, Melbourne, Australia. Can we play that here?
I don't think you can.
Okay.
I don't think you can play it. I don't know what video format that was. I wasn't able to download it myself, so.
Let me check if I can. If I can play it for you, I will. Let's have a look here. Fast. Oh, look at those welts on that guy's back. Holy shit.
Terrible. Yes.
Holy crap. He looks like he's been... So it says, Melbourne, Australia, under the fascist jackboot. I have taken some time to do a compilation out of Melbourne, Australia, as well as the terrible news that there is inspiration towards the end of the video. Oh, yeah. Here we go. One thought on Melbourne, Australia, under the... Oh my goodness. Oh, that's, let me just play the video.
What post is this from? I'm just trying to follow along and I kind of got lost here.
Okay. It's on the blog. Mm-hmm. It's on the blog. Some more rocks. I'm just watching it now.
Melbourne Meltdown. It's about 10 posts down probably. Melbourne Meltdown.
I was up, you were talking about the COVID pack of lies, and it should be past that, right? It's not.
Oh,
you know what? You don't post everything on the Discord, do you? I have to be in the blog.
You have to be in the blog, that's right.
You gotta go on the blog, man. The blog's where it's at. Discord is just, another platform that is not good.
Oh, this is amazing, Ab. You really have to put this on Fake HU before it gets deleted, this video.
I'm not seeing, that's the Troy in Australia, is that the one?
No, you gotta go farther down.
Three more up.
But yeah, you were talking about the COVID
Way more down.
With that.
Yeah, that was a while ago, Ruffers. Follow along there, yeah. Buddy.
Well, David, are you going contra chronological here?
Yes, Rollo goes backwards.
Oh, okay. Now,
yeah, I do. I go backwards.
Blog is
yeah. Before
he goes to the latest, and he works his way down. Well, yeah, I don't even know what platform it's on. I think it's on Brighteon or Rumble, so I don't think it'll be deleted, but I will grab it.
Oh, okay.
I just couldn't grab it easily from my phone.
Okay. Would you like to support Fakeologist.com?
Yes,
and
I would.
The content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
Thank you, Pink Floyd. Saturday, the 25th of September, 2021, Rick and Rollo. Rick's passed out in a pool of vomit. We're here with Ab. We're here with An Ounce of Salt Per Day and obviously Fast Value from Florida. I'm watching this Seymour Rocks video. This is really well put together video this guy has put together. And it's harrowing, the violence. And you can see where the people are actually. They're at their wit's end. They're at their wit's end. And what the cops are doing to them with pepper spray and these rubber bullets. It's just awful. And what they did to that old 70-year-old woman. Just bashing and hurting people. It's heartbreaking stuff. I'd never thought I'd see it in my, people are being shot from behind. Here he goes. And here he goes. I'll just describe the video. Yeah. So people are running away and and they're shooting them. Wow. I wonder where he got the video footage. Is that someone must have filmed this room in an apartment building or something. Yeah. Oh, it's awful.
When you say 70-year-old woman, are you talking about the Pauline Hanson lookalike with the red coat?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that was fake.
Okay.
She had like a wig that was next to her, or whatever.
Who am I talking to here? Is that
your spider?
Waterman. Oh, yeah. No worries. Yeah, you can be skeptical. I mean, there's lots of, there's pictures of it and video of being pushed over. But yeah, you can be skeptical of it. But even then, it doesn't matter what the, whether whoever it was, the person was obviously pushed down to then go and spray them in the face afterwards is malicious and vindictive and disgustingly disgraceful behavior. Do not be doing that.
Yeah, I heard it was a stage thing. Don't forget the guy in Buffalo that was pushed down a year or so ago. Rolling. Remember the guy in Buffalo that was pushed down and he started bleeding through the mouth? That was totally fake, too. Really well done, though. I didn't see the Aussie one, though.
Matty V from Phuket said that he was a cop in Melbourne, and he said that's draining pepper spray. He said that's not the real. The foam, if you look at the foam.
How can you tell?
He said it's white, and he said that's training spray, because he was there at the formation of that group and that unit.
Oh, that's cool.
And he said that the real pepper spray, what they're spraying on the protesters, like the groups, has like a orangey kind of mustardy tint, and that stuff is white, pure white that they spray on.
All right. Nice.
What a man catch.
I don't want to get into an argument, but Avi Yemeni's been down there in Melbourne, and I could see his eyes watering when they're not fucking around here. This is not practice. This is real shit. And the only reason Avi gets pretty much carte blanche is because he's stuck to his guns. All right, he's an Israeli guy down there, but at least he's not mainstream media bullshit. He's at least giving us something of what is is going on. And
have you looked into that guy?
Yeah, well, he's obviously trying to make a quid on it for Rebel News. That's all right. I mean, I don't mind.
Yeah.
As long as he tells
us. Yeah, I'm suspicious of Rebel News, but I still enjoy Rebel News, and I've even sent them a few donations. So I think they're doing more good than harm. Like, everyone is not.
But that guy in particular, was on the mainstream media teaching, you know, telling people how to escape carjacking, and he was also going down. There's some dodgy stuff with that guy that JLB found. So I'll post it when I get a chance. Yeah. I'm driving right now.
Because let's not malign the guy, because I think the guy is doing great work. And if you post it and I see it, it will change my mind. But he seems to be on the left. Look, he's trying to make a few quid out of what he's doing. And why shouldn't he? I mean, at least he's telling the truth more than 7, 9, 10, ABC and SBS here in Australia. They're not telling
the truth. I agree.
Yeah,
he's probably doing more good than harm.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's a tie-off, though. We got to be.
Yeah.
This World War III we're in right now. World War III is what we're in, so it's going to be all kinds of double agents.
These tradies that are supposedly standing up and, you know, protecting our freedom, where they've been for the last 18 months, you know? Like, they're just.
Well, you got to push people right to the wall. Now people are really getting fired, though. You're not. I'm not. People, you have to push people right to the wall to make them to react. You got to corner them. And I think people really are getting fired now. We just had 140 nurses in a small town in Ontario that were supposedly laid off this week. So you got to wait till people are really desperate before they're going to do anything. And I'm not faulting the tradies at all. You got to wait till you're pushed.
Yeah. And Ab, you saw that guy. You saw that construction worker said, "We're so sorry. Our jobs were safe for the last 18 months, but now."
Yes, construction guys here are the only people working here as well. In Toronto, the construction guys are working full blast right now, and we'll see what happens when they get pushed to the wall, because all these deadlines are coming down right about now. So let's see. Our Vaxport just came in. Let's see. The restaurants are pretty much empty now. They were barely getting back to life, and now they're back to empty again because people aren't buying this crap. So you got to wait till you're against the wall before you're going to do anything. No one is going to just proactively do anything, because don't forget, in Ontario, at least where I live, people are going along with this. They think it's for their best interest. That's the majority.
But if they're going along with it, why are the restaurants empty?
Go, Frank.
Well, I would say it's more than half the people that are going along. We just had a selection, and I bet 60% of the people voted. Well, I would say 70% of people voted for the status quo.
And yet the restaurants are empty. Isn't that strange to you?
Well, I don't know for sure, because it just started this week. But for the most part, I'm hearing that they're at about 50% now.
Ab, did you see the video?
That was probably agent provocateurs. I don't even believe that's real. That's just, you know, most of the people that are doing the violence are paid provocateurs that are there to facilitate a bigger crackdown. I have no idea. I have no doubt about that. Most people are very peacefully protesting.
They've done.
You
only need one rock thrower to derail the whole story. You only need one guy throwing a rock, and the whole 5,000-10,000 people are discredited. It's pretty simple.
Yes.
Same as the police thing, in my view.
What?
Okay. No, I think there is. There must be some planted people among the police for them to be doing what they're doing. There's no way.
I think there's some foreign. I think there's foreign people. There's foreign bad actor cops on all over
planted
the place.
Yeah.
Even in Alberta, which is a small province of 4 million people, there is one unit that goes all around the province. They're the ones that are harassing and arresting protesters. It's the same guys. They go from town to town. They go wherever the protest is, and they're the ones that are doing the arrests, because they're a special unit.
Yeah.
But the police are institutionally corrupt. That's the problem.
But they may not even be from the country. They may not even be from the area.
Yeah, I mean, whether they are or not, the police are is an institution. They're corrupt foundationally. So if you have a policeman with the discretion that's going to say, well, I'm not going to observe the corporate policy enforcement regulations in this instance, and I'm going to allow someone their human rights, they're acting against corporate policy. So the policy is... It's not, they're not there for us, you know, it's like people have a lot of trouble understanding that because they can call in a domestic violence and they'll show up and, you know, de-escalate the situation or whatever, but that's not what they're really for. They're there to enforce the wishes of the
elite. Yeah, the policy enforcers.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I agree. And so are the politicians.
So the people that don't do that, that are on the force, are going to be the exception to the rule. They're not, you know.
Yes. And they're not going to get publicity either.
Yes.
Just like, you know, to find a doctor who's going to squirt this stuff on the floor, it's going to be hard. Because they're not, they can't advertise. You're going to have to really dig deep to find these people. It's a problem. Mm. And you're going to make, they're going to make it seem like no doctor is doing that. And any doctor that does that is going to be drawn and quartered. It's going to be tough. This is a war.
This is World War III. That's not that bad. Yeah.
I'm out of here, my children.
Yeah, my daughter applied for exemption to not get the quacks at university, and she was just denied yesterday, which is just as well because she's out now. I said, well, that's why I brought you home, because for you to navigate this system without a quacks board and without getting injected, it's going to be a waste of time. So I just we left. She's out.
What is the university system in Canada have as far as like tuition and debt load after graduation goes? Is it like it is here?
Well,
or?
It's all state funded, so you still have to pay a pretty penny if you're in the same province, I guess, or anywhere in Canada. I'm not sure, but within Canada, it's mainly state funded, but you have to pay a pretty decent tuition if you're, even if you're from here, and even if you're paying taxes, like I have for 40 years. Obviously, the lodging is not included, so you have to pay that. There's no subsidy there. So it still costs money.
It's not free.
If you don't
it's
have money, it's not free. It's never been free. No.
So if a 4-5 year degree is at, $10,000 a year at a minimum, you think? Or,
yes. If you're an international student, it's probably about $40,000 a year, $30,000 or $40,000. That's why they focus on bringing in international students. Even the smallest universities survive by bringing in outside the country students, mainly from India. That's been their business model for the last 10 years. Because all the tax money subsidies over the years, that's been blown. So they couldn't survive on just domestic students, because we've already paid 100 times over through our taxes. So we're not paying full freight. And that's what they love about international students. So they, even if they're teaching them nothing, they get their money and it's a business. So that's what happens. That's what's happening here.
Yeah, and I think the thing that you would have to look into would be like your, you know, cost to benefit ratio of return on investment, or what, you know, if you're going to spend 40 or 50 grand on an education, how long does it take you to get that back, and what's the likelihood that you're going to be able to do that in X amount of time?
And the earnings you've lost while you're studying.
Yeah. Well, that's the business case for universities, and that's why they've been switched to business models where it's what you just said, you evaluate. But to me, that's not the spirit of university, but that the whole idea about just learning how to learn and just being getting a wider knowledge of how the world works, that spirit of that kind of university, I think, is gone. Now it's just a straight up business model. What's wrong about it?
I would suggest they're actively engaged in the opposite and teaching people how not to think.
I'm
saying they used to. They used to teach how to think.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. Having been through it a lot, I've done a lot. I've got a Bachelor of Science, a Bachelor of Engineering, an MBA, and I've done numerous studies to get my...
You're very smart.
I'm not very... If I was smart, I wouldn't have done it. Sorry.
But Frank, was there ever a liberal arts college where you really learned the classics and how to learn?
I'm smart in the traditional way, you know, that we're sorry, in that word, where smart's an insult. I'm smart in that way. I've done injury to myself. You know?
Well, what
should have happened is when my father said when I was 16, son, I think you'd be better off going to sea and getting a cadetship with Australian National Lines and becoming an officer at sea. If I'd done that, I'd be a quadrillionaire by now. I would have gone to sea at 16.
The original all universities were theological seminaries in nature. That's how they got their foundation. And from there, they kind of flipped over to Roman law. That was the next incarnation. And even when during the Roman law period, you still have these attachments to the Catholic Church and its theological background. And I'm just of the opinion that they've never really changed since their inception. They've always been sort of more...
I think you need to read John Paul Gatto's books. You know,
he lays it out.
John Taylor Gatto.
He's nailed it completely, as far as I'm concerned. I studied nuclear physics. Nuclear physics is just nonsense from start to finish. And the only job I was likely to get was a job teaching other people nonsense about nuclear physics. It just goes on and on with the nonsense. And even when I did my mining engineering, you do your survey and you're only taught plane survey. You're not taught any this thing about the ball earth at all, and everyone just, oh yeah, but the world's a ball, but we just do plane survey. Anything practical, you just do practical stuff. Funny. Well, you know, you think it's funny, but you've ended up, the whole process is just constant indoctrination in nonsense.
I mean, the advantage that you could say you get a piece of paper that'll get you a job that'll offer you more income than someone without the paper, you can justify it.
Until you buck the trend. But if you're a person who learns, if anyone's listening, and young people are listening right now, learn about steam engineering. You'll be the only bloke in your world that knows about it.
Frank, just before I go, my father had a massive love for Steve Locomotive Engines. He just loved the mechanical, just the whole thing about them. He just loved it. And that's why my old man, you know, he designed the Tangara and that's why it's such a good train. And look, guys.
You can get a bad burn from steam. Steam's dangerous.
It works. The people that know how to
steam burn is dangerous.
Don't get burned. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, don't get burned. Yeah.
All right, hey guys, it's been great to talk to you guys this week. And
take care,
all.
See you in 5 minutes.
All right, man. All right, cheers.
Yeah,
cheers,
see
guys.
See you in a few minutes.
I better let you guys go and talk real stuff. I better go and watch the football like a good citizen. It's the grand final.
The grand final, yeah. JLB was talking about that.
And my team, from the town that I grew up in, is in the grand final.
Quite fortuitous.
Fortuitous. Yeah, that's the word. And I'll come back on if you're still going when it's finished. Thanks for the chat, guys.
Have a good one.
No drink. Yeah.
This is Jeff Sandude.
Laura Mice.
The Phoenician.
Audio Fakir.
Chumdapa.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
I think somebody needs to figure out a strategy for being able to talk to your children that have been under the oversight of these bureaucrats for X number of years and have formulated these ideas, and figure out a way to undo that. I hear this story from a lot of people that, you know, these, especially in this community, like the parents are taken as nutcases and they can't talk to their kids anymore. And it's like, how did that authority get transferred from the parent to the state, and how do you undo that?
That's a good question.
They've programmed people from the beginning. I mean, kids are getting sent off to be raised by strangers from the time they're, you know, infants, really. 1-2 years old, they're taking them to daycare and, you know.
Yeah, then very bad.
They work in BPK and then pre-K and then kindergarten, and, you know, all the way up till they're, you know, 30 years old or something. They're just under the care of strangers. And we ended that pretty quick with our son. But, yeah, it's a bummer, you know. People have bought into this. My cousin is doing things differently. People like Critical Thinker. You know, these people on here are trying to change up the paradigm, but I don't think it's enough. But these kids are going to be, these ones that aren't raised that way are going to be, they're going to be able to do whatever they want. Basically, these other kids are going to be like working menial, like debugging code, like basically autistic jobs.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny's List is here. Johnny's List, hello.
Yeah, I saw that. He's right on cue. The other Aussies leave, what comes in, because I felt kind of bad being all Americans and Canadians on the Australian show.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Yeah, good eye.
I wanted to come on earlier, but I had somebody here popped in, and it's like, okay. You try to explain to people.
You've been off for a while.
I've met some friends and all this sort of stuff, and it's Saturday night, and yeah. But
you're living life. How dare you?
That's exactly right. But I had here. He's here. His wife's in Adelaide, and that getting because his son's got some sort of lung infection and everything, and then it's all COVID, and he's supposed to quarantine. It's just flat out of control.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I said, "How'd your test go?" Oh, they've all come back negative. And I said, "Thank God for that," because they faked the tests and. But we've sat here listening. I've had you guys playing in the background on that, and a couple of times I've walked up. He goes, this sounds all right. And I'm like, yeah, well, it is all right. But yeah, I would have jumped on earlier, but he's just left. So I thought I'd jump on. And so I had been listening, and yeah, it's good stuff. So
where are you in Oz?
I'm in South Australia. I'm a half hour north of Clare. So okay. If that means anything.
Half hour north of
Clare. Is in South Australia as well?
What's that, Ed?
Is it bad in South Australia? The tyrants there as well?
No. It's just the mask thing now. It's that they brought the mask thing in, and it's just mask zombie world. But other than that, it's the same old, same old. People got no idea what's coming. But
so yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I go on fast.
Well, no, I had a thought about the mask, and maybe the parents could weigh in and tell me. I mean, are the schools being very strict on the masks with the kids?
I don't know. I should ask because I've got an apprentice, or I don't have an apprentice. I work with an apprentice, and his brother's in the first year of high school in the country town that we work in. So I'll have to ask how sort of full on they are on that. So
one of the things that I heard about the problems with the masks where children are concerned is that these facial cues are important in developing empathy in formative years. And so what I'm almost wondering if a lot of other noise, even with the vaccines and stuff around this, is a distraction away from the mass, because this might be a 20-year plan to develop a generation of sociopaths that have no empathy, that they can have an army of robots in 20 years to do whatever that part of the plan is going to be 20 years from now.
As far as that's way out as it sounds, I agree. Like, I was at the butcher the other day, and there's an old guy that works in the town. He drives an old Holden, and then he's in there, but he's standing back from the counter with his mask on, asking for some kangaroo meat, obviously for his dogs or whatever. And I was standing behind him. I couldn't understand what he's saying. And the woman's going, "Pull your mask down. I can't hear," you know, and he was very reluctant to do it. But that was what I'm saying is I agree. There's that little moment of, there was that, if he didn't have that mask on, you would be able to lip read to a certain degree, but there was no facial expression.
Yeah.
She couldn't hear him.
I agree.
It was just, So I'm agreeing with what you're saying, Fast. Is you got to breed a generation of people that have, they can't do the lip reading.
You'll breed a whole generation that can't read lips.
Yeah, read lips, facial expressions, all that sort of stuff, because that's massive, man. Like, that's massive. Like, it's not just the hearing. You can not quite hear somebody, but you can see what they're saying.
It's also very muffled, and your ear can get trained to hear things a certain way. It's like accents. If you listen to an accent long enough, you understand what they're saying. And I think that's another thing that's being normalized, is this mumble talk, and then it's almost like baby talk.
Exactly. I 100% agree with that, because it does. It's mumble talk.
And probably with the mumbling, it's going to limit people's inclination to engage in long conversations. They're going to be, give me my order, thank you, bye.
You got that right.
And it'll be new. They'll limit the vocabulary, which they've already started to do. And, just like in 1984, they told us.
They're severing horizontal bonds. It's the horizontal communication, and they're making it vertical, where people just connect to the state to get everything.
Yeah.
There's no more sideways.
There was a big freedom protest in Adelaide, which is the capital of South Australia, where I live in that today.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was on, because I don't even, I mean, it's good that it happens, because I don't follow certain media. But I tacked onto it, and there was a few people there, like, on the YouTube live feed and everything, and it was quite, but that they allow it to happen, like, and everything. But it was quite good. I was surprised there was that many people there. Like, I don't know how many, but looking at the live stream feed, like, gives you a slight little bit of hope of something. But
And what you might get, people love to be part of a crowd and love to be part of feel like they're part of a movement. So maybe you will get enough people, you know, that don't, maybe don't really believe or don't, you know, they still think COVID's real or whatever. They just, most of them think that the reaction is overblown. But either way, if they go out and join, you know, these protests, maybe. I mean, could you believe what the story, the Dan Andrews thing, when the tradies were like, you know, told the union boss to get fucked, and he was like, I'm pretty sure my advice is going to be to shut down the advice from the health expert is going to be to shut down the building trades. And, it's like, we just do whatever we want. And if you buck up against us, we're coming after you. It was crazy. Mm. That was wild.
But it's funny because it's hard work to work out what's real and what's fake. But, the union. Yeah. Unions in most Western countries are corrupt, but I've followed the unions in Australia I was talking about this to Rick the other day, but I haven't sort of thought about it for a lot of times, but these are the most corrupt unions in this country. South Australia, the plumbing union rep came up. He was the plumbing union rep, been there for ages and everything. He was coming up, I'm retiring and everything, we're going to vote for a new plumbing representative and everything. So they'd all sort of, this guy, he was the main guy, everyone was on board and everything, and they found that there was a girl, she was a female plumber, which is very rare, 1 year out of a time. And they ended up giving it to her because they went through this guy's, everybody wanted, they went through his stuff and found that he missed his union fees for like 6 months and everything. And all they wanted to do was put this one girl into like the head of the plumbing representative union and that in South Australia. And it was just, and it didn't go down well. Everybody boycotted everything. What I'm getting at is the unions are absolutely corrupt. Like, and that's what, when I saw them going off of the BLF, I'm thinking, fucking good on them, man. Like the BLF, the CFMEU in Melbourne used to be that most hardcore union in Australia and everything, and they're all sold out, man. They're just totally corrupt, like, so fuck them, is what I'm saying.
Well, they've all been paid. Everyone's being paid. Did you hear last week, I think I said that the Catholic Church got $3.5 billion from the U.S. Treasury? My God, you're going to say anything you're told to say. It's all about the money, man. The union leaders, they're getting paid.
Yeah, the Catholic Church is loaded. If you do search like county property appraiser records for the archdiocese in that region, it's amazing how much land. My aunt works for the recorder's office up in Lake County, a county in Central Florida, and she was digitizing all the records, and she types fast. She spent like 3 days entering from the archdiocese to leave their land to the church. It's crazy. It's total for sure. What the hell do they need all that land for?
Land's real well.
So they're gonna start losing.
In Adelaide. Adelaide, South Australia, it's over 10 years ago now. SA Water is the governing water body of all our water in South Australia and everything. And, there was a big thing about the new, SA Water building that they were going to build in Adelaide. There's a massive project and everything. Turns out who owns the land? The Catholic Church. So I'm a big thing on the whole Catholic Church and everything. Well, has a lot of power. Like me and Ab have had our words over this sort of stuff before, the whole Jewish thing and everything. But when you look at it, you look at who owns the whole, you know, the money and everything, you know, who's funding the Third Temple.
I posted a really good post. I really posted a pretty good historical post, actually. I hope you looked at that on fakeologist.com/blog. And I'm trying to tag anytime we talk about this, who are they? And actually, I have a category on the blog called Power Structure. And let's remind ourselves, because I don't even know my history very well, or at least the agreed upon history, and that is that it's all about usury and money lending. And the Muslims to this day cannot get a loan that has interest. Now, they have their ways around it, because I have Muslim friends. I said, how did you buy your house? There are ways around it. But of course, the Catholic Church, the Christians, they used the Jews to be the money lenders because they couldn't do it themselves. themselves. So of course, of course, a couple, if they are taking this minority that has no laws in their religion against usury, they're going to use them. So the people that use the Jews back in the day are just as complicit because they're trying to circumvent their own religious laws and they're using these people. So yeah, of course the Jews are always there because they need them to create capital to lend to expand business quickly. I mean, obviously, you know how they just recently, just up until recently in Mexico, they built a house brick by brick because they had no mortgages in Mexico. So you'd see all these houses that take 10 years to build because they could only build when they had enough money for the material. So that's how business should work. But of course, it doesn't work
but
that way.
I don't know, but I mean, I'm not in agreement with you about that. This usury idea is a very sticky and it muddies the waters a lot. I don't see any problem with somebody that's willing to pay more to have money now than to wait to get it later. I just don't see a problem with that.
I'm talking about the past. Past.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying past. When you start talking about the past.
I'm talking about the past,
right?
The past history agreed upon. That's why the Jews are in these positions of.
But what is usury though? What is usury though? The definition of usury. What is it? I mean, I can look it up. I guess
charging interest on capital. You could not borrow money and charge money for the use of that money.
You can lend money without charging interest. You could just have a fee, like
right. Well, you could not charge interest. That's why we are all being lent. We've all been lent an extreme amount of money, all these countries, and the reason why is it makes you beholden to the debtor forever because you can never pay it off.
The whole world economic.
Wait a minute. Now we're into this we thing, and that makes me insane to hear we. I haven't done shit. I haven't lent any money to Israel or any country or anything. Nobody, I haven't opened my wallet.
You live in your country.
Okay, but it's not we. It's not we. I have nothing to do with this, and I just want to make that clear to anybody that's listening, that I have nothing to do with what the government does. I'm not part of the government. It operates independently and separate from anything that I want. I mean, your description of the polling place is such a argument against this insane notion of democracy. Like, look at these people. Do I want any one of these people controlling anything about my life? No. I've been to the polls. I see the people that come in there. I don't want you having anything to do with anything in my life. Get the fuck out of here. Democracy, no. Okay. No. 1,000 times no.
Okay. Your anarchism is coming out in full force today, Marcel. You're very good.
Go out on the street and like interview 100 people and say, okay, yeah, I'll let this guy handle all my financial affairs and tell me how much money I can keep and where it should go and what I should do with my family.
Yeah.
What kind of idea is that?
Not only that, they're gonna give you your digital currency and it's gonna expire. You're only gonna have a year or whatever period of time they choose to use your digital currency. You won't be able to accumulate it at all. Did you know that?
Well, you're saying that now, but man, there's so many hurdles. And Waterman Chris knows about this too, and we spend a lot of time with some people that are pretty well healed, and I just cannot believe all these people are gonna roll over and let their nest eggs and capital dissipate in a year because the government says so without having pushback. And I want to say that these people are going to have the authority to offer more pushback than we can give them. And so that's a huge hurdle for the powers the way I see it. I just don't think all these people are going to just roll over and accept it just because they hear something on the news.
I agree. It's going
to
be a fight.
I mean, these people are used to these lifestyles, man. I mean, you know, and right now they're farther away from the point where the rubber is hitting the road in terms of paying your bills and having to make these vaccine choices and stuff. But eventually they're going to start feeling the pinch of these things. And I think there's going to be pushback from the top, or the closer to the top anyway. Top seems to be in agreement worldwide. But yeah, right now it's probably pretty comfortable for those people in the upper echelons. They haven't had to worry about it. But when they start to feel it, there's probably going
to push back. They start to feel it. I tend to feel like they're going to somehow, just like they're going to leave the rural people out of it, I think they're going to somehow figure out a way to exempt these wealthy folks. That's my opinion. I don't know how, but it's got to go down like that. I'm asking alone now. I'm really glad to see no one else around. I'm asking at home now.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You should wear a mask inside your home.
So, Chris, what makes you think they're going to leave the rural people out of it?
I think it's too little reward for too much risk. Mm-hmm. There's too many guns. Too many
You're talking about the US, though, not the rest of the world. Yeah. I live in rural Australia and brainwashed as they come. Absolutely brainwashed. But go on, well, back to America.
I mean, that could be a problem in rural areas, too, because the enforcement can come from your neighbors rather than authorities.
Oh, definitely, 100%. That's going on now. Like, the Karens are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. They're betting on it. That's part of the system. They're betting on it, and they're downloading all the enforcement to the businesses.
It's
a fine system. This whole fine system is a brand new level of law that's not a law that they brought upon the system. It's brilliant. It's literally like a net.
It's communism.
It's communism. It's crazy. They don't need to hire any additional enforcement.
You see these channels on YouTube.
The threat of the fines is enough.
Yeah, you see these channels on YouTube that are arguing capitalism versus communism as it's a actual political financial structure or whatever thing. It's just idiots. It's an implementation, and they can do it in many ways. And like IPS talks about it with the whole recycling thing. It's all communism. It's all fucking communism.
Yeah, and any of these theoretical discussions is probably operating on the assumption that the authorities are going to obey whatever, you know, rules are put down on paper about their system or whatever. The Communist Manifesto, they're going to look at that and say, oh, we can't do this. It says on the paper that we're not allowed. Okay.
The amount of government control in Australia and South Australia, business-wise and everything, it's unbelievable. Like, it's just full-on. I keep trying to explain to people this is the Chinese version. I'm not bagging China, because a lot of Chinese people are fantastic, but this is the Chinese model. It's communism, authoritarian capitalism, you know, top-down control.
Authoritarian capitalism, yeah.
The thing about that, my wife she's been in China two or three times, and she was in Shenzhen, where the company she was working for had manufacturing. She was talking about, one of the malls over there. It's like, Prada, Gucci, everything, just imaginable. The most upper end, high end with the Rolls Royces and Maseratis and every high end automobile you can imagine. It's like the wealth divide over there is extreme. And these are the party members that have access to that sort of thing. And there's not a lot in between, but it's not like they're communism and they're not materialistic, you know. They're communism, and it's the authorities get the perks and everybody else gets crap.
It's funny because the Adelaide Casino that doing plumbing, that we would, it's bizarre. We'd have to work on these, because it's multi-level, we'd have to work on these under-level plumbing systems and everything, but you only had from, 11 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning and everything. And the Asian high rollers, they had whole rooms there for the Chinese. And this is 15 years ago. I could be being a bit judgmental or anything, but yeah.
They've got all the money that the Western world used to have.
Working above because nobody else could work above. We're working above because there's a room above and we're looking down, and it's just full of Chinese, and they're 24 the whole day, nighttime and everything. They're just gambling, and it's fucking hell. It was amazing. But I could be stereotyping, so.
Well, I heard the same thing about communist Russia from my ex-wife from Moscow, and her family was connected to the party. I think her grandfather was a general, so they lived very well. There was an extreme divide, and there's really two classes. You have the elite party, upper class people that don't want for anything, and they have all the perks that any Western, multimillionaire might have.
And then you have the peasants.
And then the peasants, yeah. But yeah, that's the irony of the communism, is that the people that support it think there's going to be this leveling, but it's only levels the middle to the bottom. It doesn't affect the top.
You got that right.
That's right.
Yeah,
and that's the whole thing about the whole with China and everything. They took a beautiful culture, an ancient culture, and they just stripped it. And the men and women had to wear the same clothes, and they just totally just destroyed it. And then they, after a little while, they said, okay, now you can have a little bit of freedom, a little bit here. You can have a bicycle, and now they're allowed to have cars. Some people are allowed to have cars. But People don't see all that sort of stuff.
Oh, but there's a lot of cars there. It's the number one car market. Crazy.
I know now, but not before.
Yeah, now, of course.
Before it was just totally.
And I know, but they've taken them from peasant class to middle class very quickly now. Could they take it away in the future? Yeah, because they'll just move on to cheaper
places
to manufacture it around Asia. That will happen. That's a guarantee. That's just the capital to cheaper labor.
How easy it is to destroy.
The whole argument against GATT and the general agreement on trade and tariff was that it was an unlevel playing field. They were moving all the industries to the sources of cheap labor. That's the only competitive advantage these countries had, cheap labor. And that was China's advantage. It's not going to last forever. I'm sure they know that.
Yeah, but they had to destroy the Chinese culture to build it to where it, to build back to where it is now.
Well, of course. They took an agricultural culture and took them out of the land.
Well, evidently that's what happened in the Industrial Revolution as well.
As it passes
off the land into the cities, to the factories.
Definitely.
And America's being deindustrialized since the 1950s. So it's already been 70 years of deindustrialization. About two generations at least.
Right, it's been the same that the Arab Industrial Revolution's happened before the Chinese Communist Revolution. I'm just saying, if you want a classic example of what they can do, they can just take over a country with communism and then build it back better in their own eyes, you know. Cancel culture, it's called now.
I like how they make mistakes, though. I watched a demolition of 9 or so buildings, and I can't remember the name of the city of China, because they overbuilt, they pre-planned a little too aggressively, and the buildings didn't get finished because they just, I guess, didn't need the workers in the city. So they demolished all kinds of huge residential structures all at the same time. It's quite well done. So pre-planning, central planning doesn't always work because it's not market driven. It's planning driven.
Well, it can't work. Because it isn't market driven.
Well, it's worked in China to an extent, though. You have to give credit.
Well, by whose definition, you know? The only thing that I'm interested in is quality of life, human thriving. If you think the people in China are thriving, then yeah, it's working.
I think it is working. It did work. No. That's why they want to bring the model. I don't even know if they're going to bring the China model to our country.
So I'm clear. You're telling me the people in China are thriving.
That's definitely what they're portrayed as. Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying all of them. There's allegedly a billion people. Look at the incredible growth of that country and it's a world most Americans don't even know. I'm not saying it's utopia, but when you don't have to, when you don't have this pesky democracy in the way, you can make things happen very quickly.
Well, God, man.
And
what private property. What crap selection of choices, democracy or communism, man? Is there anything worse? I can't even imagine. Two of the worst ideas ever. Well, we're in soft slavery. Like, that's a thing. I mean,
the West is already way ahead of China. But yeah, China's thriving, but the West has been way ahead of that for years.
I don't think anybody's thriving anywhere. I mean,
they're not fast. What I'm saying is, like, you can say China might be thriving, but they're thriving in their own world. They're not. It's nothing great. It's nothing to aspire to.
I'm talking about quality of life, satisfaction, contentment, you know.
Yes.
Whatever you want to. If you value, is the highest value and priority in your life, work, and, you know, to the exclusion of your family or any sort of entertainment or the possibility to contemplate the universe or whatever you want to spend. If your only priority and value is work, yeah, then they may have a really good thing going on over there. You want to get up and work over 16 hours a day and do nothing else for your entire life, that's probably a great model. I'm not particularly...
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
I'm not particularly...
That's why I struggle with that Matt Errett from the Canadian Patriot, because he really pushes the China thing. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not here to argue about his stuff.
I think he's fantastic. I like his work a lot.
I know, but he pushes China as the greatest model ever.
Who is this?
I don't get that from him, really. Matthew Errett of the Canadian Patriot on YouTube. I don't get that. I don't get that sense. He's just saying that China's not the enemy because they've set up another dialectic.
He's got one of his YouTube videos where he says why we should be working with China. And it's, I don't think it's his podcast, his stream, but he's on with a man, another guy and a woman, and they're going on about the social credit thing. And his answer to that was, oh, well, America has a financial credit system. And then goes, oh, yeah, China's not perfect and everything. What I'm getting at, he doesn't really sell them. Like, and I'm open to the ideas of everything, but, yeah.
I look at countries as franchises of a worldwide corporation.
Mm.
And the way I see it, it should be employees and the franchises uniting to offer resistance to management. So governments worldwide are management. They're the managerial class. For the last year, I can't remember how long it's been, almost every politician that I've seen address any sort of public in any public appearance, they all come across as complete psychopaths. Like, none of these people have any sort of, I get no connection, like, there's any humanity in any of these people that I see on the television. And, like, you know, our responsibility
now they're really showing their fangs.
To unite and, you know, have solidarity, for lack of a better word, with the employee class against the psychopath management class. That's where the divide is. The countries, the Chinese, the Russians, the Jews, the Mexicans, whoever, all these bogeymen that we're always worried about. No, it's management. That's the enemy in every country. So
I agree, because they've taken over total control. They've got control of every country. And
that's because they work at the behest of the elites with the control of the
money. No, I agree. I totally agree with that. Like, there's no questions there.
People need to get it. People aren't familiar with the idea of the elites. The wars between the elites and the peasants. The peasants got too rich. They're having too good a time. Not enough work was getting done. The system is in collapse because it was at maximum debt. And it has to be reset, and the victims will be all the middle class and their wealth. That is the end game. They're going to strip all the wealth.
They create wealth, man. They create their own wealth. They don't need to destroy us. I think they just do it for fun. I think they just do it every so often.
I look at it differently. I look at it as a preemption, that the middle class are the people that could actually challenge them and potentially dethrone them.
Yeah, sure.
And so they can't take the risk of being dethroned, so they have to do something about this potential threat.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. That's another way of looking at it.
The world is not a zero-sum game. There's always going to be enough to go around and more.
No, I know that. These people,
for everybody. It's not, you know, it's not about that.
Yeah, I agree.
They've controlled how many wars, and they've murdered how many, you know, and they're probably potentially there's another war coming, and, you know, like, I'm just saying, they get off on it. They don't care. I think
As far as people having stuff and work getting done, I mean, everything as far as the debt, the collapse, the devaluation of currency, over-leveraging, lateralized debt, that's all their engineering. It has nothing to do with people working. You know?
Yes.
That's one of the things that went to this in 2008 is I had been doing the same thing I had been doing pretty much my whole life, working, paying taxes, whatever. And all of a sudden we're in this collapse and I'm out of work. And we're threatened. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm like, I didn't do anything different. What's going on? And I find out it's just all these shenanigans with banks and loans and this over-leveraging of the credit and too big to fail and nobody gets prosecuted.
Who let that happen?
What do you mean, who let it happen?
Who let it happen? You're using the money system, so the people that are in the system like you and me that are earning money, you let that get away from you. We let that happen.
Because obviously we granted
authority for them to do all that with our money.
It's not our money. It's their money. They print it.
We were using it.
Federal Reserve
note.
Right. And we're brought into that
system.
In my case, I went to college, so it ended up being like 17 or 18 years of indoctrination where they're telling you that there's, you know, basically, Chris Kendall, and I wanted to say this earlier, mentioned on one of his podcasts, the biggest message that your kids get when they go to school, you drop them off and you turn them over to these people. And so it's the transfer of authority through your action, through the fact that they're in the care of other people for the majority of the day, which sends the message that your parents no longer hold the primary position in terms of who's the authority in their life. That's the message of school.
Worst thing that ever happened to humanity is education system.
So people come out of school programmed by these authorities to take them at their word with all this unfounded trust in these institutions.
And then they argue with their parents. When their parents say something, no, my teacher told me this.
Right, because the parents have been around long enough to see through the bullshit, some of them. And so, you know, their message is going to be contrary. But the kids aren't going to believe them because they've been in the hands of these bureaucrats for that number of years. But you can't expect people to go through all that with no contraindication something might be wrong and then blame them later for the fact that they didn't take some sort of action to extricate themselves when they had no idea there was even a problem. It's like the level of deception and manipulation and psychology and indoctrination that goes into this. I'm not about that. My dad died
a couple of years ago. He'd be about 75 now, but he actually got it. He said to me one day, he goes, "We've been lied to," and I said, "Yep, he kind of got it towards the end. Anyway, I'm sorry to make it about me, but he kind of got it, and then he stopped listening to the radio as much and stuff like that. But
at least he finally got it. That's good.
He did. He goes, "It's fucking bullshit." But he didn't totally get it. But he said to me, "He goes, I always thought to myself that nothing ever changed. We vote, we do all this, nothing gets better, it slowly gets worse." And he voted for Gough Whitlam. Not that means much to Americans and everything. He was the big change in Australia in the 70s and everything and that. And he's like, nothing ever gets better. And he kind of got it. Yeah.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Matty from Dusseldorf, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and I have the impression that convenience is like this value that's been adopted by people of this time, where they can't picture a time when without these conveniences that would have been better in many ways. And so, like, when I look back in my childhood and teenage years in the 60s and 70s without cell phones, I look at that as a better time. I don't equate this convenience with a better quality of life, but you know, a lot of people, they look at it, maybe farm life, having to milk a cow or having to get your living out of the ground is just horrible and untenable. I couldn't imagine dealing with that level of inconvenience, but I don't think the two are, you know, convenience and quality of life are necessarily the same thing.
Well, it's funny you say that, Fast, because the apprentice that I work with, he's almost saying he'll be 18 at the end of the year, but last night he's gone to kill. I've got to go help Dad. He was conflicted. He's going, "I want to go hang out with mates tonight, but I've got to go help Dad kill some sheep and chop them up and that, you know." And I don't know what to do. I said, "Mate, are those sheep going in your freezer at home you're eating?" I said, "Go." And he said, "Yep." I said, "Go kill the sheep." So he's come back. He's come in the morning. He's got his steel cap. See the blood on me boots? Like, but what I'm getting at, I thought it was pretty cool. Like, and he's all over it. He's just like, "Yeah, we'll go kill some sheep and we'll do this and we'll do that." Like,
good guy to know. When the meat shortage starts.
That's what I said. I told him that. I said, "You know what's coming, you know, the end of the world." I didn't say that, but he can do that sort of stuff. But he was conflicted, and he's a young guy and everything, and he wants to hang out with his mates, but but you won't get that in the city. Like he's obviously different in the country and everything, but he was conflicted. Should I hang out with my mates or should I go help Dad kill a couple of sheep? And they're not farmers. He's not a farmer or anything. It's just the way that works up here. There's a few people that have got farms and they're related and they're this and they're that, whatever. But, I thought it was pretty good.
Looks like the other guy's all bugged out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bug out. So,
yeah, you're on fire today, Farce. You must have a good sleep.
Johnny's microphone going really well as well.
I spend most of my time now chatting on the cell phone, so I'm seated, and it's hard for me remain seated for too very long. But
you're really on fire today. You must have had some good rest this week.
Oh, I'm just kidding. It's fatigue and frustration. And concern with the.
You don't even have the screws being tightened on you. Come on up here.
The screws being tightened. Yeah.
They're not tightening on you yet, but yeah, it's screwing up our lives up here in big time.
It's hard for me to get a fix. You know, I have the guy that owns a gym I go to, I talk to all the time. His parents are in Canada, and you know, he kind of soft pedals it. I ask him about how things are going up there, and he has friends in Montreal, and I understand Montreal is pretty oppressive, but I can't get any real, you know, stories out of him about how people are being affected and how negatively they are being affected and whatnot. So his parents got vaccinated because they wanted to travel, and now that's sort of been, those goalposts have moved, so they're just like, well, we're just going to stay in Canada. And I'm like, did they go out to restaurants and stuff? And he's like, well, maybe once in a while, but he led me to believe that anybody that's vaccinated can go to a restaurant, no problem, so.
Well, yeah, because you need a passport, right.
And, you know, maybe they just don't see that as a problem, as any sort of overreach or anything, which is bizarre, beyond comprehension, but... That could be the just what we're looking at, that people are just going to accept this. That's my frustration, is the fact that even nobody bothers to look at even their own narrative. Like, as crazy as it is with all the inflated numbers and the PCR test and all the lying and manipulation, even if you take everything they say at face value, none of this makes any sense, even by that standard. But I don't think people even bother to go as far as to look into what they're actually saying. It's just like they get marching orders and just
exactly.
Go.
Exactly.
You're right.
100%.
You're right. And the people that run the place rely on that.
Yeah.
You're right. And they rely on that.
So for someone like us, it's so freaking glaringly obvious. It's like the sun in the sky at noon, and you talk to other people and they're like, I don't know. What are you talking about? It looks like midnight out here. I don't, you know. Like, come on. How can you not see
this? Read that latest post that I put up. Lie upon lie. Just their narrative is just so defective with this COVID lie. It's the lies, the list of lies are long and they're obvious and they're glaring. Yet the masses are still adhering to all the reasons.
It's not like whistleblower lies or leaked documents or, you know, protocols of Zion, any of that kind of stuff. No, it's right there on the face. All you got to do is look at what they're saying and you can see their lies.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I guess I'm a little bit fed up.
Ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, yeah, you and Jan Eric are always a real breath of fresh air. And not that you're not wrong, but I mean, I guess I can be thankful that the pace is a little bit more relaxed in Florida than it has been in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
You know, who knows why that is?
Because you need a dialectic. You need a comparison.
Yeah. Any firsthand knowledge of anybody that's been negatively affected by the vaccine?
My daughter.
Well, my dentist. I told that story last week, didn't I? I don't know if you were here.
I can't remember what his actual symptoms were.
He almost died.
Wow.
He was. He had a seizure, and then he went in the hospital, and then they put him in a coma, and then they vented him for a week.
Oh,
he was
wow.
in the hospital for 3 weeks, and he definitely looks. Even if he's lying, I said, "Are you lying to me? Because you know who I am." And he said, "No, I'm not lying." And I looked at him when he stood up, and he was definitely 20 pounds lighter, and he didn't have 20 pounds to lose. And I'm trying to get him on to record it, but he didn't call me back because he's busy, I guess. But I talked to his receptionist, who's going to try and get him on, because I scared the hell out of her, too, with my talks, which I don't like doing, but... I got half an hour talking to her on my way out the door. So yeah, that was my first real, first-hand, believable case. And the COVID protocol is what will kill you.
Right, right.
And that speaks to the whole thing about Amazing Paul. He did an amazing...
With the intensivist?
Yes.
That was great.
Fascinating. So these are our hospitals. These are what they've become. They're businesses. And the reason why it's her work is so valuable is, do we remember before COVID? Because we have to sometimes go back in history. Before COVID, we did have a healthcare crisis where we had these runaway costs that were consuming most of the gross national product, healthcare and education. So if these costs are out of control, there's no real way to rein them in, then we're looking at what the solution is to that, and that is to basically shut the door, shut them down, let them implode, explode, and then they're going to blow them up, and then they're going to come back and ration these services.
Yeah, it's so funny, Bill, because there's really quick and easy and simple ways to rein all these costs in. It's like they're only out of control because they're managing them. That's what makes them out of control. It's not like they're organically just growing out of control. So it's like they create a situation, and it gets out of control, and they say, oh, this is all out of control. Yeah, stop, you know, stop being involved. Then it'll be fine. But no, that's never going to be part of the way they manage shit that they create.
Yeah, but you know what really, capitalism works pretty well when it's direct. Like, when you have middlemen, and that's government or insurance companies, corporations, then that's when things can get out of control, and there's no direct relationship between the buyer and the seller. And because when we're just charging the insurance company, oh, well, they got lots of money. They can fix my car, or they can fix my health. So let them pay for it. Well, yeah, they never pay for it because there's no them. It's just a middleman between someone else with money and someone without money. So that's why there's no real good checks and balances in that system.
I always boil it down to the bottom. That's what frustrates me too. The answer is simple. It's recognizing the force in the equation, the violence at the bottom. When you have a government is different than business because a business operates on trade. Two people exchange things because they both feel better off when they exchange. They both win. When you have a government, they use force at the threat of murder, ultimately, to collect taxes. And the whole system grows on that idea. So we live in a murder cult, and things will never be better until we recognize that fact. Because when you have that force at the bottom, accountability is removed from the people at the top and everything, all their cronies and all the people that flow down from that. And that's the fundamental problem. There's no way around it. If you have a government, we're going to have this ad infinitum for eternity. Because it's based on force.
Well, and redistribution of wealth as well.
Well, that's how you use force to do it. So there's two ways to get something. You can trade for it or you can steal it. That's it. And the government is, they steal it. So, you know. That's another part of my frustration too. It's like you just talk around in circles all the time trying to jam the square peg into the round hole of government, and it's like, no, you're always going to come back to the same thing and trying to justify this criminal enterprise and make it moral in some way when it never can be. It's day and night. And
well, people are addicted to government. They love it. They want them to save them. It's the new god.
Yeah. So many people benefit from it. You know, military contractors, Amazon, insurance companies, banks at the top, and then at the bottom you have people that are scrabbling to get whatever they can that falls off the truck on the way to the castle. Yeah, it's a situation, but you know,
how's Mrs. Barr's taking it all?
Yeah, she's fine. She's probably better than me. She doesn't pay that much attention to this stuff. Gets on with her life. She knows everything's there, and she's, you know, pretty much on the same page and agreement with everything, but she didn't put any energy into it, which may be the better course of action. No, we have the idea that maybe people drop in here from time to time, listen, and maybe have some epiphany or something. Yeah. Pipe dream. Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's
pipe dreams. But you got together with the No Agenda people, and that was fun.
Yeah, it was good. You know, there were a lot of people that are certainly on a similar page that we are. They've started at least going down the road, clicking a link or something, as opposed to just lapping up the mainstream nonsense, which, yeah, it's just so sad to think that the people, and I don't, you know, and the thing is too, I don't, like I said before, they don't really pay attention to the mainstream narrative that much. They get the bullet points a few minutes here, a few minutes there throughout the day. They're standing in line to get their tires changed, and somebody comes on TV and says, people are dying, stay inside. And then they turn on the news at 10 and they get 5 minutes of that. Okay, better stay inside. People are dying. That's all they know.
Yeah.
And
Hoy is just on tour in Florida? Is that why
they had driven across the country. They were, they've been a bunch of different places. He said the worst place they went was Memphis for some reason. It was the most oppressive, I guess. Everybody was masked. Yeah. They were more insistent about having a mask to go in places. His girlfriend had relatives out here, so they stayed here for a little bit and see him twice. It was really nice. And then they took off the day after the meetup. I guess he said it back to the West.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's cool. How many people were at the meetup? Did you do a meetup report?
Oh, yeah. So, when was that? That was Sunday. Sunday of last week. So we've already had one happen. Did you listen to the last Thursday's No Agenda?
Yeah. Were you on that? I didn't hear it.
Well, we did a recording. One of the guys brought around his phone, and I said, hey, it's great to be here at the No Agenda Meetup. We have cross-platform pollination going here with members of September Clues and Fakeologist.com.
Oh, man, and, I got to listen to that again. I might have stepped out of my vehicle at the time.
Yeah, I don't know if he played it. I don't know if they sent it. I don't know if they did send it, if they played it. You know, it's a whole thing that has to happen. If they had a bunch of other meetups, they might have played those instead. I don't know. I haven't listened, but I was hoping it would be there.
Maybe they didn't play it then. That's true.
They usually play it, right at the end of the second segment, almost toward the end of the show. They play the meetups. I think, did they do it at the first half too? I don't remember. I think it's just at the end.
They have chapters. I can listen to the chapters.
Yeah. So, you might check that again and see if it's there. I was hoping to get a plug in for Fakeologist and September Clues.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but maybe it's there. But yeah, they did that. It was pretty cool. It's, it's the problem is too, when I hang out with people that aren't in this space, I always find that I have to bite my tongue to a degree when certain things come up. It's like they'll start talking about that, and I want to educate people or something. But yeah, that's not that people want to be educated, but it's like it's just so much easier to have a conversation with people that are on a similar worldview.
Oh yeah, I agree. Always helps. It's more interesting. You can get more covered. Yeah, for sure.
Oh hey, okay. I don't want to gonna go there right now, but I did hear your talk with Marcus Allen and Bob. I'm not quite through with it yet, but I kind of
Bob is an interesting character to say the least.
The Kim Trail thing came up again, and I find it interesting. My opinions on those are from my experience here, what I see, because I live between two airports and I see planes going in and out of the airports all day long, way high in the sky starting early in the morning. Planes, from what I can see, I haven't got a telescope, but with my naked eye, they're like white and seem to be unmarked. And they go from horizon to horizon, sometimes vertically, practically, or at 70 degree angles, not coincident with any airport exit or entrance. And they cover the sky with a tightly concentrated, very luminous, different color temperature than the clouds that spreads out over the course of hours to create a haze over the area. And I've been here long enough to remember when that didn't happen in the 80s, when the skies would be completely clear or they'd have the white fluffy clouds or something. But now, when they do that, it's directed, it's focused, it's intentional, and it's something. And that's all I know.
I'm Del Qua.
I'm Ashika.
Dave George.
Cody from Memphis.
Silver Bay.
Chris from Hoaxbusters.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
I won't offer any opinions as to whether what it is or whether it's harmful or anything like that. I just give an observational experience. That's what I see. And I know it's different than commercial airline without any doubt. Okay.
I totally agree with you. If that's what you see, that's different from what I see. I don't see planes doing that. But if you see it, then I can't argue with you because I'm not there.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, maybe you're lucky enough to live in an exceptional city. I've seen it in a lot of other cities besides just here, but, if you're not getting it, you're probably better off. Not that I know what it is and whether it means anything. I'm not scared of it. I'm not paranoid. I don't even bother pointing it out to people, but,
you
see it. Anyway, I'm going to go out and breathe in some of that, barium, aluminum, and lithium right now. And,
oh, nice. Enjoy your day down in Miami.
Yeah, it'll be awesome, man. You do the same. We didn't quite cover it you're definitely feeling the oppression up there. It's like, it's hard to navigate life in Ontario right now compared to...
You need a passport to go into the coffee shop. Guys are being thrown out.
Really?
Being arrested for trespassing.
No
which
kidding.
Which is all they got it's, on you. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
that bad.
Happening.
Wow. That's,
it
whoa.
Is happening.
That's unbelievable. And that's going to be everywhere.
Yes. Letter from Lithuania. Whether it's from Lithuania or not, doesn't matter. That's what's going to happen.
I saw that is on the Lithuanian government website or whatever.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's coming to a town near you. It will happen there, just not on the same timetable.
So what's your workaround right now?
I don't have a workaround. I'm going to withdraw from society probably. And then I'll be doing a broadcast 3 times a day. And I'll really be pumping up the donations. I'll have to find companies that work for cash. I'll be working for cash, Monero, Bitcoin, whatever.
Your company is going to do this to you at some point. I have no doubt
in my mind. I'll have to work for some small companies while they're still in existence, while they're still allowed. What if they put all this with my driver's license? Then I'm done. Then I'd have to drive on their roads without a license. How will that work? That won't be difficult because they'll just keep taking my car and towing it away and making me walk home. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's a big problem.
And there's not enough resistance up there to make a difference.
No! Inject me harder, Daddy.
Wow. Yeah, I guess that's the worst part of it, is that, it's people's, complacency, you know?
They think it's for the right thing. Are you gonna be here in 2 minutes, or are you gonna go? Cause I gotta
stop. I'll go ahead and go now. I'll sign off now. But, hey, it was really good chatting with you. Thanks for all the, the updates in Canada.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the, Anarchist rant. It was good to hear. You were in fine form today.
Well, yeah, that's, the way I look at it, that's the real root of the problem, but until we can get past that, we'll probably suffer through
that. That ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, well, it's all about, mental conversion, understanding what you're dealing with, and it's very heavily obfuscated, the buildings and the flags, ties.
I know. All right, man, have a good one.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Rick and Rollo Show. Make sure to tune back in next week for more Australian fun and fakeology. Make sure you go to fakeologist.com and fakotube.com to learn more about PsyOps and media fakery.